Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Ogling, Gregor, Men's Ass, Clowns, the Cross, with Fruited, Ned, and Dog, Brian, in the open air, coast, that house, we call Zog, Babylon, the third, and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. Tonight is the 6th of December, 2012, and 7 years ago. 7 years ago, here I was in the nut house. Finally, after earlier that day, around 7 o'clock, having my teeth knocked out by a Newton County pig. Now, he wasn't supposed to do something like that, but he did something like that. So, for me, every December 6th of 2000, every December 6th has been, for me, a day of infamy. Because, well, essentially, I pretty well found out is that, hey, Zog has a hatred for you, and Zog's minions have a hatred for you, and the only way you're going to be free of them is through a policy of absolute, ruthless, and remorseless, civil war. There's no getting around it. Now, people go ahead and talk about our wonderful constipation and idiot ass clowns who are getting sloppy seconds, like Clint's meerkat Mark Downey will claim that the constipation came from Yahweh, as opposed to a bunch of founding felons and lawyers and masons who got their little heads together figuring out how to put the Bank of England Jew Babylon onto this new nation, which had just gone ahead and kicked out the old money Jew, Zog, New World Order in Britain. Why, folks, supposedly Cornwallis, Lord Cornwallis, wrote a letter to George Washington saying that within 10 years, this new country, which he was going to get as a result of Lord Cornwallis surrendering to his, with his second in command. Lord Cornwallis was sick. He just didn't feel like going ahead and getting his little nose rubbed in his own stupidity. So he had his second in command surrender to George Washington at Yorktown. And Cornwallis, told him is that within 10 years, your new nation will have be under the rule of the Bank of England. I mean, folks, that's what all these so-called independence things, are aimed at here. Harold Covington's Northwest novels, they want to go ahead and keep them under the domain of the Jews. They want the Jews to be able to print money, to be in charge of the banking. And like one king is reputed to say, give me the coinage in the courts and let the rabble have the rest. Doesn't really matter, as long as you have the illusion that you're going to have justice, the illusion you're going to have freedom, the illusion of good government, and as long as you control the currency, and that's what the Jews do indeed believe let the rabble have the rest here. Now, they're not going to let the rabble have the rest. And, folks, you'll end up having something like happened to me. Well, folks, let me just go ahead and read what I was saying. About 7 years ago, on December 6, 2005, I was being transported to the Fulton State Nut House on the illegal conspiracy between Judge Kevin Lee Selby and the Department of Mental Health to evaluate me for ability to stand trial on a bogus child molestation charge, which some Newton County pig claimed a state therapist said that my slight retarded grandson said that I kissed his penis and buttocks for 6 months for someone allegedly quit for whatever reason. Folks, that never happened. But you have it where essentially some therapist who claims that he loves the kids so much, more than the parents, get to interfere in a family relationship here. And folks, let's just not lay it down on this pig. Let's not just lay it on the therapist. Let's lay it on these legislators who went ahead and not only gave money, taxpayer money, to these criminals, but gave them the right to interfere with family relationships. They're the ones who have set it to where, hey, anybody can go ahead and make a little 1-800 call, I am a rat, 1-800, I am a rat, to the Child Protective Services or to the Sheriff's Department or to the Department of Revenue. No. In this country, there needs to be an understanding is that before any criminal charges can be made, there has to be somebody who is making a criminal complaint. And if that criminal complaint is false, then the same thing needs to be done against that false accuser that Theodoric the Great or Dietrich of Bern, the great Ostrogoth king, did against such informants. He would fashion a rope out of the informants, the false accuser's wife and father and mother and children, and strangle that liar with that rope made from the intestines of these false accusers. And that's exactly what was done. It was all together planned by Newton County along with the state of Missouri and at levels reaching up to the federal government because they got involved with one of my friends telling me he had to denounce me, all the way up to the Bureau of Immigration and Naturalization trying to destroy me, have me murdered in prison. And this sort of thing is that, let me just go ahead and read on. Now, this was the very self-same judge, Kevin Selby, who had already stolen my grandchildren based upon some little mamzer living across the street's lives. Well, the little mamzer was named, Matthew Wittenberg. He was the son of Cousin Debbie, who was Roxy's niece, the Anglo Mestizo. And, folks, he has blonde hair. He had blonde hair. He's a blonde-haired mamzer. Now, last night on Survivor, I seen another mamzer here. They had this Abby, this evil little Brazilian bitch. And her mother looks like a pure, pretty well a mulatto, a mestizo. Sort of like Eli James's mamzeress Rebecca Mace. When she was young, she had blonde hair, coarse blonde hair. Later on, she just turned darker and darker and darker, just like Visser does. Just like Visser's little Melungeon pisser possum mats will go ahead and do. They will turn darker and darker and darker, just like Jeremy. They're called Grelos or Grillos or something like that here. What they are is that they are mamzers, mestizos, who turn darker as they get older. Now, Visser's full-blooded brother, Sean Aaron Visser, has always looked like a beaner. But Jeremy, when he was younger, was a blonde, was probably a blonde-haired, cork-eyed little mamzer. And he grew up to be a, sort of off-color cork-eyed mamzer. He's a Melungeon, he's a mamzer, an obvious mamzer. But getting on with it, this little mamzer was running around screwing another 14-year-old Anglo mestizo. And essentially, he was a professional criminal. Now, I think he's in prison for some, odd job of thievery or something like that here. But essentially, Newton County pigs came in, just go ahead and write up a false accusation here that Martin's molesting kids here, and we'll we'll go ahead and take the kids, and then when time comes up, we'll send them to prison to be railroaded and murdered in prison and being a child molester and a racist. And that's exactly what they had planned. This was judicial murder. No different. No damn different than what Ahab and Jezebel did against Naboth. That's why I call my HTML page Naboth 21, because it's from the 21st chapter of 1 Kings, telling about Naboth. Folks, judicial murder under color of law is an old thing. It's been around, I think, ever since there have been civilizations here. Whoever's in power thinks that he has a right to go ahead and live off the expense of his slaves, of his servants, of his fellow subjects. And when one of them gets obstreperous here, he's not just simply going to go ahead and just murder them out of hand like an honest thug would. No, he's going to press charges against them and then murder them. And pretty well to Yahweh, that was the last straw. And he went and told Elijah, go down there, you tell Ahab, his entire family and those who serve him will die. Anyone of Ahab who dies in the cities will be eaten by the dogs, and those who die of Ahab in the fields will be eaten by the birds. And if anybody dares to bury them and go against the will of Yahweh and go against right, they too will shed their family and their carcass upon the city street and the field. And you go ahead and read to where they were literally not only chopping off heads of Ahab's children from the age of probably 30 on down to 2, but they were also taking the bodies of Ahab's family to Naboth's vineyard and opening up a dog feeding station there. That's what they were doing. They were just going ahead and putting the bodies so that the dogs could eat it. And Jehu, after he had Jezebel's eunuchs throw her onto the spears of the soldiers, well, she is the daughter of a king. Go ahead and bury her. And by the time he figures it out, why, hey, they've eaten all except her skull, her hands and her feet. And I don't know if they just simply said, screw it, in the air and let the dogs have the rest or not. You deserve no less. And so does any other regime criminal. But going on, the whole thing is, after about a year and a half, I'm suing this judge to get the kids back, and the Missouri Court of Appeals Southern District is backing this criminal up all the way. And they did. They said it's thoroughly lawful to steal and buy and sell children. Now, they didn't put that much. They just went ahead and said there was a little procedure that somehow Roxy and I hadn't followed. Well, the answer to that is you start skinning and then worry about the procedure later. These people are traitors, and they need to all die. All of them. Every single one of them. Now, if they're white, if they are Israelite, maybe, if you have time and you have the leisure, you might do a DNA test and then set up something I call the Dzerzhinsky protocols, to where, well, essentially those who want to live where the brothers and sisters of the regime criminal can go ahead, if that criminal lasts 4 days of torture and skinning along with his family, well, then you might go ahead and just brand a 666 on their forehead, geld their sons, and use their daughters, essentially spay their daughters, but use them as artificial wounds. You need to cut off that bloodline. Now, if it's evil, like Vissers, you cut it off altogether, because there's no goodness of these people. These people are evil. They're born evil. They were made evil. I have to laugh at Eli James and Jeremy Visser and Obagender Bender. And Obagender Bender knows enough not to show it stout. And then Wednesday night, here's Visser whining and lying and pissing and moaning about slander and call me a convicted child molester, which is a lie. And Visser knows it's a lie, but Visser cannot help itself. And near can Obagender Bender. Hope Gender Bender has enough sense to hide his face and his name, because it's a coward, it's a Jew, it's a sneak, it's a liar. Well, by the way, I've invited Hunter Wallace. I went ahead and sent him a invitation. He did go ahead and print it. But folks, all these notions about freedom and justice and secession, peaceful secession, it's just bullshit. You can't go ahead and secede and bring with you the same cancers that destroyed the overall work, even if you thought you could do so. That's not going to work. Going on. After a year, a month, and a day, you know, on May 10th, they decided, and this was when I went up to, well, I went up over to Springfield and didn't know it was Harry Ass Truman's birthday, and I slid this brief to get the children back right underneath the door. And the next day, around 3:30, here I am arrested by Ken Copeland himself and this other pig that hates me named Joshua DeFrades. And they slap on the cuffs and tell my old hands get blue and bigger. Folks, that's another way that pigs love to torture people. Now, I bet I could go ahead and break a pig of that. What you do is you go ahead and take one of his kids, you put the old handcuffs on, and then you strap them up and you give them a little bit of garrotee. You know, not garrotee here, strapado. Essentially what it is you dislocate their shoulders here while they're tied up here, you know, at the end of a chain onto a pole here, and you have them scream and scream and scream and scream. And you know, I mean, contrary to this being done in secret, I would televise it, and I would make these criminals watch it and know they're next. Know they're next. The whole purpose of something like this is to terrorize wiggers and animals and the rest here to where they don't want to lift up a, you know, they don't want to lift up a paw against the new order of life. Why do you think Felix Dzerzhinsky, my hero, even, you know, I don't think he's a Jew, but I do know he's a Tartar. I do know he's part Mongol. Why do you think he went ahead and rounded up these pigs all the way from the village pig all the way up to the Tsar, tortured them, got a confession, and then tossed them naked to their victims so they could tear them apart and then sent their families to a death camp? Do you think he made that a big secret? And the answer is no. The peasants loved that. Now, of course, these Bolsheviks lied about bread and land, and the peasants believed it because they thought, well, who's going to work the fields unless it's us here? So you might as well let us have title to the land because we're the ones who work it. And they believed the Bolsheviks, and of course, these Jew Bolsheviks lied to them. But they did know the means to go ahead and get power. They took these pigs, and folks, in Tsarist Russia, they called the pigs pharaohs, F-A-R-O-S. They call them pharaohs because essentially these pigs thought that they were the kings of creation. Now, going on, after a year, a month, and a day, here I am suing Selby on behalf of Roxy to get the grandkids kept back in the crooked Missouri Court of Appeals Southern District, which knows dang well that we have a right to ask for an intervention, had gone ahead and lied and lied and lied and concealed their previous rulings, went ahead and I guess got it. Later on, here's Selby, he's gloating to me. He's gloating to me on the day he sends me to be evaluated. You lost the case here. Essentially what boils down to is their little appellate courts is just a rubber stamp for these convictions. No, these people need to get the Dzerzhinsky treatment. They need to get it real quick to where, hey, look, pig, you're all in it. Anybody who supports the current regime needs to die because we don't have time or attention or intention of locking you up and keeping an eye on traitors. Not on Mamzers, not on Jews, and certainly not on Uyghur traitors. You're just simply an animal without a soul that needs to die. And that comes to Uyghurs, too. Even if it's a pure-blood Uyghur, and this Uyghur does nothing but evil, Serve Satan? Just go ahead and send it on into hell, screaming to hell, awaiting Yahweh's judgment day. Well, that's cruel. It doesn't say in the Bible you can do that. And the answer, no agenda bear, the answer to this, or the answer to any regime criminal, is Yahweh doesn't micromanage how you get your justice. It doesn't micromanage a single thing. Folks, when these pigs went ahead and shoved me while I was shackled, you know, this pig named Hunt, he was a big bad pig here. He wanted to be uppity. He wanted to tell me, hey, you're just a child molester here. You're scum here. I'm great. And I said, look, pig, you're just a pig to me. You're not much. You're just a piece of shit hiding behind the badge. Don't give me a crap about how you have any moral superiority. And why he's shackling me up, he can't do a dang thing. He can't strike me. He can't slap me. Or at least he can't do that here without the rest of them getting in trouble. So he gets mad here, and then in the car, he tries to tell me again here, I don't want to hear anything from you. I said, well, pig, don't start nothing, you won't hear nothing. So he cranks up the sound to deafen me. 15, 20 minutes. These pigs, this pig named Sullivan, you know, who's a senior pig, and this pig named Hunt, they drive up, they're just gulping down coffee like pigs. They have no sort of control. So we get to a convenience stop off of US 13 in Springfield. And pig says, don't say a single thing here. Pigs are scared. Pigs are scared that whoever is convicted, when he's being done the perp walk, he shouldn't be allowed to say he's innocent. He shouldn't be allowed to just simply, you know, express his hatred against this government. And the pigs threaten somebody. We'll threaten you. We're going to do this. And folks, I have an answer to non-administrative placement. Folks, when I was in there, they just pull all this sort of thing to deny you your visits. Folks, the whole purpose of jail is to make sure that people who can't make bail because they're a flight risk or a threat. Well, hey, that's the purpose for jail is not to go ahead and torture the accused and tell them that things will be so much better in prison if you only make a plea agreement. But what these pigs do is they assume that you're guilty and they get to administratively punish you. Well, folks, I have an answer to that. Administrative castrations, blindings, and skinnings for regime criminals and their spawn. I bet there won't be too much love for administrative punishment because someone like me gets through the former police department. But, you know, here's this pig. He's going ahead and threatening me. What's he going to threaten me with? I've been sent illegally to a nut house. The reason I got sent to a nut house is that I wanted to defend myself. Now, the answer is that those charges lawfully couldn't have been presented because if there was a question of abuse as opposed to just the pretense in order to steal the children, they had 30 days to make an investigation, 90 days to make a report. Here it's been a year and a month, and now a therapist claims after she gets my grandson in her claws that he said something. He says, yeah, I did something. But they want to go ahead and videotape. They want to go ahead and videotape him claiming that I molested him. I never meet him in court. Here I am sitting in jail. $100,000 bond. And folks, a couple of months ago, a Missouri Highway Patrolman retired pig got a $5,000 bond. Yesterday, someone who went ahead and actually raped 4 underage girls, actually raped them, he got a $50,000 bond. And here it is, some made up shit about me kissing my grandson's penis, and I have a $100,000 bond set by this faggot judge who's probably being blackmailed. He's probably a faggot who's being blackmailed by the prosecutor's office. $100,000 bond that I can't make. So I demand to, you know, essentially confront my grandson, and they can't have that. So Selby, he's the new judge. Now, this is a complete conflict of interest because he's the one who took the grandchildren. He's the one who took them under the pretext that they were being molested by me. What possible result would he have on a preliminary hearing other than I'm guilty in order to protect him stealing the children in the first place? What possible result would he have? But, hey, here's Tim Perrigo, the head of, you know, head of the court, and he refuses again and again and again my demands that it be transferred either to him or to the head judge, to this other judge named LePage. He refuses that. He refuses to even listen to it. This piece of shit is an evil piece of shit, just as evil as Selby, just as corrupt as Greggy. They're all evil. They all do evil. And that's all these judges do. That's all these pigs do. But anyway, we get up there. I'm pissing all these two pigs, and I say, excuse me, are you a senior here? And no, I'm not senior. Sullivan is. I said, so in future on the rest of, time up here, Sullivan's the one to be given orders, not you. Oh, and he was mad. So we go back out to the car. And just as I'm about to go ahead and, have the door open, get in there, I'm shackled. Sullivan shoves me real hard on my right shoulder. And I have a bad hip. I have a bad left hip. He shoves me, just as I'm trying to maintain balance and keep from falling into the ground, he shoves me just as I regain it. And this time I crash right into the curb, knock out four teeth, chip a fifth one. I'm scraped all over my hands, my nose, my chin, my upper lip. The hide is just scraped off here. On my knees, shins. Folks, I look like I've been drugged. And I'm bleeding, and the taste of teeth does not taste very good when you're swallowing them. Very bad. It just tastes like bad tooth-tasting gravel. And so they go ahead and they pick me up and they shove me back into the car because here are some wiggers looking on. What is going on? Blood is coming down my face. Drip, drip, drip. And essentially, I look like a half-bearded Christ being cruised on, after being scourged on his way up to, crucifixion. These pigs drive 85 miles an hour. They hate stopping. But every time there's a stop sign, they have to stop here. Here are these people looking at my dripping, bleeding, scraped face. Right around, Osage Beach on Highway 54, there is a major, with a license plate, First Command, who follows these pigs for a half hour. And he's the only wigger who took... you should not torture prisoners seriously. He followed for about a half hour, then he had to turn off. And the pigs were scared. The pigs were scared that, oh my God, what's going on? So we get up there, and I make a complaint about police brutality to the Nut House people. I demand that the county sheriff come in and arrest these people and hold them for an investigation as why your prisoner looks like he does. Why does he have not much of knocked up teeth and all these scrapes on his face? And essentially, they let these pigs go. Later on, I demand that these cloths with all the prison clothes, the orange pants and jumpsuit with all the blood on it, be kept as evidence. And nope, they took them and they disposed of the evidence. So I have a question here. How in the world are you going to go ahead and determine between a good pig and a bad pig? Ken Copeland knew all about it. In fact, Newton County, all Newton County, it was over on the OSHA forums. Martin was clumsy, and he was trying to escape, and so, he had it coming. Well, folks, every time I hear that, you just hear a pig talking, or you hear a regime criminal. You talk a wigger talking. And folks, the way to go ahead and have them scream a different tune is just simply just put a gallows around their necks, around their children's necks, and just shackle them up and drag them behind their own pig squad cars. I bet they'd scream a different tune, wouldn't they? But the question I have is that this evil reaches so far up, from top to bottom, from pig to judge, the legislator. How do you determine who is guilty of doing evil? The answer is they all done evil. And, oh, you're not going to get to what you're saying, something like that. You're not going to get Twiggers on your side. Folks, Twiggers are just nothing more than cattle. They're just nothing more than animals that look in at evil. There were a number of people. The only one who even paid attention to obvious, to what was obvious. I mean, you know, folks, even the nuts up there said, what the hell happened to you? I said, oh, pigs, you know, pigs knocked out my teeth while I was shackled and all that. And this old one nutty nigger said, well, they do that. Well, yeah, no shit. You know, no shit. Folks, the evil of Satan's administration reaches from the bottom to the very top. And if you believe that we're going to have secession, we're going to have peace, we're going to have an ability to peacefully secede, you're wrong. Hunter Wallace is claiming that the Southerners are different people than the Northerners. And therefore, just like the Czechs and the, you know, and the Slovaks, and just like the, you know, just like the, Estonians and Latvians and Lithuanians were able to move themselves out from under, the Russian Empire when it was falling apart 50 years later. Folks, yes, we are all different people. We don't have very much in common. But folks, the problem with secession is, where does it end? Where does it end? Hunter Wallace thinks there's going to be a Neo-Dixie. I don't think there is. How in the world? How in the world am I supposed to live in peace with someone who went ahead and deliberately stole my grandchildren, plotted to have me judicially murdered, you know, had their pigs knock out a bunch of my teeth and dope me up in order to go ahead and, you know, keep concealed their crimes? And then when their crimes finally fell apart, well, hey, I still don't see my grandchildren. How am I supposed to live in peace with someone like that? That's what I have problems with Harold Covington's little notion here. He thinks that local North Vietnamese regulars are going to make peace with the pigs. Folks, let me just tell you, as a practical event here, you're more likely to be railroaded and murdered by your local local sheriff's pigs and local, you know, town pigs than you are the FBI. That's just the way things are. Folks, these people are not in power to do good. They're in power to destroy the white race, you know, number one, and along the way get perks, be it of money or pussy or power or what have you. These thieves are out to destroy your life, and you can't live with these people. That's why when a civil war breaks out, the end result always is, you know, is that who was in power before almost always loses. But there's not an improvement for the average people, because whoever comes in power is going to be just as corrupt, if not worse, than the ones who were overthrown. And when I go ahead and talk about the need for civil war, I'm not talking about something like when Ralph Iron Felix cut off the head of this decayed Swedish aristocracy, which had founded Russia, and then putting a Jew Bolshevik head on top. I'm talking about about 1 or 2 or 5 or 10% at the very top. I'm talking about a thoroughgoing purge from top to bottom, to where, just like when Rome fell, there were, what, only 10% of the population left alive, and they were ruled not by an overall national or regional or even state level, but rather by their local warlord, who essentially may have had some allegiance to some king who had very little power, be it in France or in Germany or in England. And you had essentially no more than just maybe a couple counties living together under one overall warlord. And he may have been plotting to be the Brett Welda in the case of the Heptarchy of the Heptarchy of England, of Anglo-Saxon England. But no. Generally I'm talking about where we're heading to is we're headed to absolute chaos, absolute destruction, to where we're going to get down to where there's only going to be a remnant alive. Now, I believe that at this time, Jesus Christ will return to save even that remnant from what remains of Zog Babylon. And there will be blood rising up to the horse's bridle level. I believe that. But for those who do not believe, I simply say is that you too can be a warlord. Don't worry about mercy for regime criminals. Don't worry about lawfulness. Don't worry about anything other than yourself here. Power is, except, having power to destroy the lives of your enemies is perfectly acceptable. Because your enemies are those who rule over you. And don't worry about the Uyghurs doing anything. The Uyghurs didn't do a dang thing to prevent my family from being destroyed, and they're not going to lift up a finger any more than the peasants of Russia did when Iron Felix rounded up their policemen and tortured him. In fact, they're the ones who probably helped tear him alive here after the pig confessed. No, folks. I'm just simply saying is that the only thing that's going to go ahead and save the white race is an absolute great tribulation. That's the only thing that's going to save the white race. And so that means that evildoers and their entire families need to die. And there is no shortage of evildoers within Christian identity. We end up seeing what? A Jew talk to a Melungeon and a Mamzer Jew transsexual faggot like Obagenderbender on Tuesday, and then what, Wednesday? More and more whining about slander here while here's Jeremy Visser lying out its Mamzer ass about me, the unconvicted child molester. The idiot can't even help himself here. Critter's so far gone. And I sent an invitation to Alex Linder. I don't think Hunter Wallace has gone back for about 3 or 4 days. But here they have, here's Alex Linder in the debate. We are so much higher. Well, yes, you're so much higher like Pierce's National Alliance tards. Just a bunch of snitches and informants and wannabe crackpot bank robbers and criminals and mamsers all telling on each other. And I point out to Hunter Wallace, you end up having one of these little critters of Linder's. Linder was whining like a pussy. You tell bad, you let him tell bad things about you, about me. And so I said, I'll tell about Linder is that Linder is an informant. Linder informed and testified against Bishop Bill White. Linder is a Jew. It's bleeding out the asshole. It don't have any great, plans here. One of his critters, and I'll give Nimbusters the credit for this here. One of his critters, Stephen L. Akins, has been caught. The idiot's been caught. Here he is, a big fat, cork-eyed, Pictish, Tubal-Cainite Mamzer, part Jew, he erased Christianity. The stupid bastard, I guess, somehow managed from his food stamps and his welfare. He stays at home, has a squaw wife for like Jeremy Visser, and somehow he's called himself Lord Akins. He's running around with a kilt and a sporran made out of raccoon fur. I mean, these Scots don't know what the hell to make of it. And he goes ahead and tells a Scotsman up in Glasgow, if I shipped to you a tombstone, would you go ahead and have it put in this abandoned Scottish graveyard so I can claim to be the Lord of the Akins? And from what I gather, this Scotsman just said, "This is the most stupid thing I ever heard in my life here." He blows the whistle. And heck, even the Alabama tards know about the sixth, Duke of Earl, Lord Fakins of Jasper. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is the quality. Well, folks, Hunter Wallace did go ahead and pose some comment moderation. But he let Malaya's post go, and he may show up tonight. We don't know. Maybe he's at the gym, and maybe he's doing something useful. I pretty well urged him not to do a fourth interview with old roid rage retard Jim Giles and Alex bleeding out the bunghole Jew kike Linder, because, hey, what does Linder have for strategic vision? Running a tard corral and maybe shutting down yet a second gay bar in Kirksville? Well, I'll go ahead and grant Linder that, folks, probably nobody except faggots and Linder could even find one gay bar, in Kirksville. But I'm sure if anybody can find a gay bar in Kirksville, it's Rabbi Linder. Oh, he was whining about me telling lies, actionable lies. Well, I'm trying to figure out where in the world, under what theory, is it illegal to point out that Linder has Crohn's, a.k.a. Jew-ass-gates. Now, on the Tuesday show, he claimed that he had ulcerative colitis. And 6 months ago, Linder finally figured out by saying he has Crohn's, he was admitted to having Jew-ass-gates. So now he has ulcerative colitis, a.k.a. Aryan-ass-gates. But, folks, he's just a Jew with a bleeding bunghole because his Jew bunghole has rebelled against him. And I found it hilarious, hilarious to go ahead and listen to it. Oh, by the way, Peerless Good Namzer is now a good friend of Visser. And over on the Nimbusters, I'll give them credit again, they dug up an old post by the administrator of Nigger Mania, who said that Peter Goodman is nothing more than a shit-stirring Jew who's crippled up living in his mother's basement in Brooklyn. Well, folks, that's exactly what I think old Peerless Good Manzer is, just a Jew. And I've decided that I'm not going to log on as Pastor M. Linstead, and for the next at least until after January, I'm not going to bother getting on the Dirty Jew show. I mean, heck, all the Dirty Jew does is just lie. And I was pretty well pissed off to where here he was repeating what I said about Mongoloid being a worthless wigger, and then trying to make that into a major imminent threat. And there's I'd put a bullet in Mongoloid's head. I mean, heck, the worthless bastard may end up having it coming. But no, I don't have no use for a worthless pussy wigger who, when a Jew boy like Artie says, I'm calling you a child molester, what are you going to do about it? And essentially Mongoloid just whines like a pussy about it. That's all he can do about it, I guess. And here he is listening to Peerless Good Manzer and asking like his friend, because, hey, Peerless Good Manzer is aiding his fellow Jew Artie in that? No, wigger. You choose to believe Jews because there's something wrong with you. You may be a Jew or a Manzer yourself, or it may be because you're just a stupid chicken shit wigger who wants to die. Anyway, folks, I've been ranting enough. I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And we will be back in a little bit. We'll have Logan call in. So, folks, hail victory. Hello.
I didn't hear the monologue because...
Well, you came in just in time.
Well, good.
You came in just in time. Just as I was going to have a couple-minute break. So I'm not going to have a couple-minute break. How you doing, Logan?
Well, I was going to listen to your monologue, and I got into a... I was talking to somebody about... basically, I was teaching some scripture and stuff over the phone. I got in a big argument with them, and I didn't have time to listen to your monologue. But anyway, we were talking earlier before the show. Basically, do we have any bishop opossums in the chat room tonight? What's going on?
Oh, you have a nimtard or two. You may end up having bishop opossums.
They're probably my news guy, the intern. What about Visser and Obi?
Well, with Visser and Obi, essentially, you have two Jew Mamzers running around whining and pissing and moaning about Pope Marty. I mean, that's all their show is about, slander and whining and pissing and moaning. And here's, I went ahead and invited Hunter Wallace, to come in. He might not show up here. You got to understand, in this bowel movement of ours, you have the big dogs and you have the meerkats. And the purpose, I guess, of every big dog is to bring in his own little meerkats running around and arfing and the rest of it. And you have these stupid meerkats, and they don't like free speech either. And that's what gets me, is that they're in rebellion, they say, against Zog Babylon. But what they want to do is they want to set up yet another little regional Zog Babylon, in which they're in power and they do whatever the hell they want to. And how is that indistinguishable from what Jews do? And the answer is not. You had one stupid skank. Thank you to take the name Jesus Christ off in the state of Missouri. And, look, you're some bossy skank here. And essentially, if I had the freedom to respond to her, I'd say, look, you're either a Whigger skank who essentially has a little meerkat who you've done castrated here. In a Christian identity form of government, you went ahead and told some other man, not your husband, what to do.
Yeah.
Essentially, you'd be brought up on charges. And pretty well, what would happen is that you would have these two protuberances from both set of lips, just simply snipped off here, and you'd be forced to eat them. Now, whether or not, if you start gagging them up here, both your tongue, your clitoris, when they were, bits where they were rubbed down your throat here, we'll just go ahead and take the knife hilt of the knife, and we'll go ahead and shove them up. We go ahead and just shove them down your throat and make sure you eat them.
Basically, the majority of the white women out here, if they're not bisexual or lesbo, they're not fucking Jews, nigger sticks, and anything but a white man. The only white man that most of the white women want today, these wigger skank women, they only want meerkats.
They only want meerkats.
They don't want a strong white man that is going to live by Yahweh's laws and is going to wear the pants and be the head of the family, because they want to wear the breeches and they want to run the show, and that's bullshit. It's not going to work that way. That's not Yahweh's form of government. That's not Yahweh who said he's over the man and the man's over the woman, okay?
Well, that's true here, and that's true. I thought it could just as well have been Clint Downey who had been speaking, but it doesn't really matter. There's so many skanks just like that. And probably, the one who'd go ahead and be doing the clipping would be your husband.
Yeah.
And essentially, if he didn't agree to do it, you just simply geld him. He gets 39 lashes for the bitch going ahead talking out, because, that's why I told Clint Downey, I said, hey, and that's what old Jack Poot over at Stormfront said. Now, he knew who damn well who wore the pants, but, when he kicked out old Clint Downey way back in May of 2009, they were going to go ahead and take down the theology thread on Stormfront, and that included Christian identity. He just pretty well said, look, bitch, you get back. What happens, Clint Downey, and this is how it changed here, according to Liability Clues, he might even be speaking the truth, is that Clint Downey went and banned some guy who had already given Don Black $8,000, and Don Black was hoping for more money. So he passed the rules that only Don Black or Jack Poot can actually ban a sustaining member. Clint, you can't have any moderator, especially one like Clint, ban anybody who is actually paying money to Don Black. And Don Black passed that order because Clint, went ahead and banned some sustaining or lifetime member who had, over the course of years, given Don Black $8,000. And old Don Black just has a fit about that. But he doesn't kick Clunt, Downey out here. He just simply tells old Jack Poot is, okay, we're going to demoderate Clunt here. She's no longer the leader here. And, oh, by the way, nobody gets to have a clan title. So, you know, Clayliff had to go ahead and become birder. And they made exception for the little meerkat. And essentially, Don...
Basically, Martin, all the white nations of the country, they have emasculated the male, and they have basically turned the women into either race-mixing whores or bisexuals or lesbos, or dominant women that basically want to rule over a man. And, this is what Satan's kids have done with the Wigger programming. You know, I had a thought. You know, Hitler and Nazi Germany was the side of good, and Joseph Stalin, who admitted that Satan was on his side, he admitted he was a Satan worshiper. Stalin and communist Russia was the epitome of evil, and it just so happens that Russia was called the motherland, but Germany was called the fatherland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the God in heaven is the Father. Okay, and the thing is, the Son and the Holy Spirit are all masculine. I had these Jews out of Arizona told me the Holy Spirit was a woman and that she had sex with Joseph Jeffers and all this perverted, kinky shit. You know, Lilith, Satan, it's recorded in all the lost books that he dressed up as a woman and tried to seduce Adam, that he was a pervert. And we read the Cave of Treasures where he would take Satan, also slept with the daughters of Cain. So he's a bisexual pervert, like all Jews. All Jews, like Obi or all these others, are all perverts. They're all bisexual. They're all...
There's something. Call them trisexuals, because they'll try anything.
But the thing is, a lot of your feminist women, they don't want to say God's a man. They want to say God's a woman. And they got all the niggers saying God the black. And they got all the sticks probably saying God the stick. You know what? The hell with all that shit. Yeshua, the Messiah, was blonde-haired, blue-eyed. Adam was blonde-haired, blue-eyed. All the angels originally were blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Okay? Adam and Eve were both blonde-haired and blue-eyed. Okay? So I'm just sick and tired. Basically, Wiggers, even in white nationalism or identity, you got a bunch of meerkats and you got a bunch of feminist bitches that, you know, they don't want to know their place. You see, they don't want to respect the authority of the man. I'm talking about if it's a righteous white man, and they don't want to respect that. They'd rather be around some piece of shit nigger stick that slaps them around and make mongrel babies and be, you know, basically a lot of these white women, and you can chime in on this with, a lot of these women are rebellious. Maybe they hate their parents. Maybe they hate their...
Oh, mainly they hate their daddy. They mainly hate their daddy. You know what I mean? You know, the ones who go ahead usually... You know, well, like Cousin Debbie, and regrettably, she got out of jail, and she got out of jail again. You know, her and her meerkat got out of jail here. I guess they paid off the bond, some more bond money or something like that.
Is Cousin Debbie, is she talking to some of Kibisa or some of the Nimbuster?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well, they go ahead. I mean, Pretty much, they go ahead and they make their various sundry lies up here. And Visser gets to where, oh, he censors me. He had Eli James. Of course, I got censored. But, you know, pretty well it was just like being on Eli or Dan Johns or whatever show here. Not Finkelstein, because Finkelstein doesn't allow any comments at all. And as a result, he doesn't have much of an audience left anymore, other than Captain Senility, Emma Heiser, Sword Mamzer, you know, Brian Rio, and a few other little tards here. He don't have much of an audience anymore. Elier is running around talking about the purity of race and all that, and how just not anybody can get in. Here he's talking to a mongrel like Visser. He's a suspected Jew mongrel like Obagender Bender. And he has this Rebecca Mache. She's a quote, red digger mongrel. And this is one thing. I was looking at Survivor. I sort of stopped trolling too much here while Survivor was on. I had Visser on Toshiba number 3 recording his chat, and I had old Dan Johns on Compact number 1 recording his chat. And I was looking at Survivor, and they have this here stupid, mean, blonde bitch with cork eyes named Abby Maria or something like that. She's from Brazil. And she looked like she was a mamzer of some sort. Well, this week they went to show their families. And her mother is a freaking mestizo. Her mother is a total mamzer here. You can go ahead and tell.
I'll tell you what else you got in Brazil. Okay, before they closed New York City, a long time ago when the Jews, Christopher Columbus was a Jew and the Jews were coming over here to the New World, when this country first got set up, they were deciding whether to make New York City or Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, as the new headquarters for the Jews. They chose New York. But in consequence, you got a lot of rich Jews in Mexico City too, all your billionaires or millionaires. But Brazil has it's just like everywhere. At the top, all the money and power in Brazil is the Jews. But the rest of Brazil is mostly mestizo.
Mestizo or nigger. In Brazil, you're judged white if you have one drop of white blood. Whereas in America, you used to be judged nigger if you had one drop of black blood. So as a result, most of the population in Brazil is just a bunch of niggers of various sorts. But
when Hal Turner went over to Brazil, he said there was a small enclave of so-called white nationalists. But those so-called white nationalists, maybe 1% was pure white. I mean, that's what I'm guessing. But there wasn't a lot of those anyway. And Hal Turner supposedly, he's bragging about how he smuggled a gun down there. He smuggled.
What was the point to it? Hal Turner was just a liar. I think Hal Turner's a whistling myself. I think he's a mamzer myself. But this crazy bitch from Brazil, I seen her mother, and her mother was a mestizo. Was a quote Indian mestizo, sort of like Visser's mom, sort of like Visser's brother, full blooded brother. But what happens is that, just like Rebecca Mache, when she was young, she had blonde hair, coarse blonde hair. And just like Matthew Wittenberg, this little mamzer who I think was the one who wrote up the lie in order to get himself out of trouble against me. He was a blonde haired, mamzer, looked like Burt Reynolds. And from what I got, Rebecca Mache was a blonde headed, mamzer. Now, as they get older, they call them Guelos or Grillos or whatever here, these Mexicans here. And what happens, Visser's the same thing here. When he's young, he might be blonde, he has cork brown eyes here, but he's got burnt cork brown eyes, but he has blonde hair. And as he gets older, he looks more and more and more, just like a mamzer, more and more and more like a melange, because that's what he is. But when they're younger, just like this Abby Marie, she may be a bottle blonde or she may actually have blonde hair naturally, but essentially you go ahead and look at her mother. Her mother is a total mamzer. So you have these, lighter colored mestizos. When they're young, they might end up having blonde hair, rather coarse blonde Indian hair, but, blonde colored. But as they get older, they get darker and darker and darker. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, basically, somebody was talking about Visser at the beginning of the chat. They said that Visser's hero is Ed Wood. Who the hell is Ed Wood?
I have no freaking idea. I have no freaking idea.
But then I said, Visser's not...
Ed Wood, is that Is that that damn Jew? Is that that damn Jew actor who played?
Ed Wood. I don't even know who the hell Ed Wood is. If somebody would...
There's a Jew named Wood. He played Byron D. LeBeckworth. You know, I mean, Jews like playing Klansmen here, but they also like playing Nazis. So, in any case...
Basically, Frank Lincoln knows that Hitchcock is a Jew. Why don't we go look at Visser and see the Visser in brown skin? Basically, Visser. And then Rebecca Mace is admitted mongrel.
Well, you can look at her here. I mean, when she first showed up,
he's got a bald nose, which is not white. It's a big, bald, fat, bald nose. It's not quite a hook nose, but he's got brown skin. He's got darker hair, and he's just an evil bastard. I mean, he lies every 2 seconds.
Oh yeah.
Hates me and you both.
He's gonna go ahead and get on one of these. He's gonna get one of these nimbusters who's impersonating Linda to show up, you know what I mean? Talk about how you raped her.
Well, see that, who was that? Somebody, Rose 88, Rosemary 88, or something.
Blushing Mary America, or something like that, or
no,
whatever. Amy Rose 88. This Amy Rose was some delusional middle-aged female tard who would go ahead and, for whatever reason, post in, "Look at me, I'm sweet Amy Rose." And there was no sense to it, but she'd do that every so often, and she'd do it back in the time when I was in the nut house. And essentially, here's Oba Genderbender, you know, wanting to go ahead and talk about my hypocrisy. Said, "Well, okay, that's a Marty female sock puppet. Marty's trans, you know, Marty's a transsexual or whatever here." But in any case, what I'm saying is that these mamsers, they might want to go ahead and pretend that there's something else here. Newskike on Saturday Night Show was taking sections. Now, when was this? Tuesday night show. This was after the Hunter Wallace. He was taking sections from my Sunday night show while I was chewing on old mongoloid stupid wigger ass being a pussy, and he was claiming that I was advocating imminent violence against, dumbass mongoloid Davies. And I didn't do any such thing. I just simply said he was a worthless wigger pussy who deserved whatever the hell he got, you know, because essentially Newskike had this Jew on, named Artie from Northern Minnesota, and old Artie from Northern Minnesota told old Lloyd Davies that he was the one who was calling him a child molester, and Lloyd Davies was whining about, "Well, what if that gets out here? I don't mind you call me fat, I don't mind you call me chrome dome, but I don't like being called a child molester." And essentially old Artie said, this Jew Artie said, "Well, fuck it, you know, who cares? I don't care. I like just saying bad things about you." And what did Mongoloid do about it? He whined like a pussy. And here comes on old Mongoloid. Essentially, to Mongoloid, I'm the bad guy, not the Jew who called him a child molester, not the Jew who essentially worked it out so he'd be called a child molester. No, I'm the bad guy because I just simply called, you know, Mongoloid just a fat, stupid, wigger pussy, you know, which he is. You know what I mean? Just a fat, stupid, wigger pussy that ain't worth a shit. So, in any case here, I'm looking right now, here you have the CNN going after these polygamous women and children who have not done them a bit of harm, and they're out to go ahead and lie and cause them trouble. Now, you know, that's what you end up having when you end up having Jews run things here. They just go ahead and just tell nothing but lies and lies and lies here. We both understood about, what, 2 weeks ago, the intern, you know, the stupid bastard on either Dan John's show or Visser's show, a Wednesday, you know, it's been, what, a week and a day ago, went ahead and told about how he went to visit, you know, Peter Goodman. He went to visit Newskike up in you know, up in north of Manhattan in New York City. Remember that? He let out the news kayak, wasn't living in Iceland. And one of the NIMBusters let out that the guy who runs Nigger Mania found out this character named News Guy, you know, was also called Peter Goodman. He was a crippled Jew who living in his mother's basement in Brooklyn. He was just nothing more than a shit-stirring Jew who caused nothing but trouble, and he was going to go ahead and ban. He was going to ban old News Guy. His last name, supposedly, it's probably a made-up name, is James, just like Eli James. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what he is, he's just a Jew that causes trouble. And here's Visser and Obagenderbender going ass to mouth with Newskike, just pretty well sucking up to Newskike, Tuesday and Wednesday. And pretty well, I've determined that I'm not going to, I mean, I go ahead and I hang up, you know, hang on, and here's Newskike telling big old lies about me. He's just stirring up shit. And essentially, the fucking kike refuses to even, you know, let me, you know, even pick up the phone or even unmute me. So I decided for the next, at least until after the new year, I'm not going to log in as Pastor Martin Winstead or any other known sock puppet. I may listen to it, but essentially, I'm not going to feed the kike no more. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, basically, you got to be as wild as a serpent, and when you're dealing with these damn snakes.
Well, no need to deal with them. No need to deal with them. I mean, why would I want to? I mean, essentially, look, Newskike, you want to.
I mean, no one likes Newskike's show. I may troll Dan Johns or troll Obi and Visser, and the reason is, Visser's an evil son of a bitch.
Oh, he's twisted. Visser, yeah, he's twisted, Mamzer.
Visser is, Obi just has gender identity issues. He's some kind of pervert or something. I don't know what the hell he is.
No, he's just
Visser goes around stirring up trouble, and he wants to attack basically my show and your show and anybody putting any kind of truth out, and he wants to be the so-called big pope in identity. And he doesn't really have he claims to have this big show and all this following. He probably don't have 5 or 10 listeners.
Well, they were all NIMBusters. He had bigger. What you had? Okay, we're going to go ahead. It looks like Hunter Wallace is about to come on. Could we take a minute break here and then let me go ahead and unmute Hunter Wallace?
I'm not sure tomorrow. Why don't we just pick this back up tomorrow? Because I got to go to work tomorrow.
You got to go to work tomorrow? Okay.
I'll let Hunter Wallace take over. And my show tomorrow at 7, 8 o'clock Eastern time. And it'll be a 5-hour show. We'll do Table Treasure Scripture. And then you can call in. We can talk more about this.
Okay. We'll do that here. I got to take a leak, and we'll let Hunter Wallace on. And just everybody, if I start yapping more than half the time, say something in chat room and slap me up to reality. So we're going to take a 2-minute break, and so I can go ahead and take a leak, and I'll let Hunter on, and we'll be back in just a few. Hail victory. Hello, Hunter Wallace.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, none much. I had had one of my one of my friends and allies, Logan Hunter. He's from around the area of Nashville, Tennessee. He's a Christian identity. Well, he used to be on the Hal Turner Show. He used to be on quite a bit, and he runs. He's an allied DSCI minister with me. We have a few disagreements about theology, but essentially we're talking about Jeremy Visser, Oba Gender Bender, the news guy. You know, the news guy show. You know, and the news guy is a he's a Jew named Peter Goodman who lives in Iceland and. Pretty, you know, he claims to live in Iceland. He actually lives in Brooklyn, and supposedly he's crippled. He's a shit stirrer, and pretty well we were talking about wonderful tards in the bowel movement. But in any case,
yeah, I think he sent me an email. I think he was saying something about Nimbusters, but I was so distracted by all the stuff going on that I just haven't had time to respond. So.
Well,
I don't really know much about him.
If I had to give you any advice, I mean, unless you want to, for the rest of your life, be stalked like Mike Blevin / Von Bluven, Chris Drake, myself, Logan Hunter, I'd advise you not to have anything to do with such characters, unless you want to, every time you go over to Nimbusters, see something like, you know, I'm balls deep in Hunter Wallace's mangina or something like that. I mean, they will have the Gmail of the day. They will have all sorts of stuff. And
I think it's a pretty funny site. They like spoof everybody.
I think it's hilarious, and sometimes it's quite useful. You did get my message about the sixth Earl of Fakins. You know what I mean? Stephen L. Fakins. I mean... This tard, here he
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Steve Aikens, the guy who's got like three
Stephen
kids on.
Stephen L. Aikens. He's big as fat. He looks like a cork-eyed. He looks like a cork. He claims to be a Scotsman.
Mm-hmm.
He. I don't know if you read the entire thing.
I read it. Is there any truth to that? I haven't followed this character, and so I don't know much about him. He's new to me.
He has an average of 27 posts a day over on the NNF. He doesn't have a job. I guess his wife is working, sort of like Visser's, you know, wife is working. He doesn't have a job. He's on welfare and food stamps, but somehow he found the money to talk about sending a tombstone to have some guy in Scotland planted in a graveyard and thus claim to be, you know, to be Lord of the Aikens here. And
are you shitting me, or is this like...
No. Just click on the link here. It'll go to my forum, and then it'll go on to... This is actually... Old Aikens lives around Jasper, Alabama.
I know, yeah. He lives not far from my dear brother, in fact, in Tuscaloosa.
Okay, well... When I used to do the chicken run, I used to go quite a bit called the run onto the, you know, to the boat in either Pascagoula or Gulfport, mm-hmm. Mississippi. And, you know, this was in the mid-90s when they were, buying chicken thighs, something like that. I used to go through, around Birmingham sometimes. I'd do the chicken, you know, the chicken. Around from Cummings, Georgia to Pearl, Mississippi, where old Jimbo lives. It's the only Tyson's plant, which is manned by niggers instead of beaners. And then to Springdale, Chickendale. And pretty well, you go through this Jasper, and I think it's also called the guy who, I forget his name here, he's the character who played Goober. You know, Goober on Gomer Pyle and the Mayberry RFD. It's called the George Lindsay Memorial Highway. You know, around Jasper here. So it's named after Goober. But Aikens had enough money, I guess, to try to. You know, did you see his little tartan in the thread here? And the Scots were amazed to see someone with a raccoon skin sporran here. You know, that's you know, raccoons are not, you know, native to Scotland. You know that?
Yeah.
Anyway. Are you gonna go ahead and do another show with Jim Giles and Lender?
I have no idea. I know Giles is over there arguing with them now, and he said I would imagine that have a falling out between now and then. If you browse that, there's a new thread over there about exterminating the Jews, and they're all going out. I got tired of dealing with them, so they're all going after Giles now.
Well, you.
If you listen to the last debate, Jim had been posting over there like I had the week before, and they were obviously getting under his skin, and he kind of unloaded a bit on Linder for a while there. And after all the abuse he's been putting up with in this last week, and I'll it makes me wonder what he'd have to say at the next debate.
Well. Giles, both Linder and Giles are informants. Linder testified against Mitch Kiss Bill on December 15, 2009, and I'm convinced that you were invited in order to be ambushed by, you know, Jim Giles 3 days later to, you know, go ahead. Every time Linder gets in trouble, he tries to go ahead and bring up that Greg Johnson is a faggot. Well, he might very well be, and he lives in San Fags Crisco. And, you know, but to me and, you know, Logan, as we look at it, Jim Giles can pull out, wipe off, and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be a homo anymore. But Alex Linder isn't able to go ahead and apologize for being a Jew. I'm convinced that Alex Linder is a Jew. He has a Jew genetic disease. I was going to play bits and portions. Old Linder was saying that
it was something. Now if I remember correctly, it was Crohn's disease. But then he said it was ulcerative colitis.
Six months ago.
I don't know if that's the same thing or.
No. Okay.
Whatever it is, it sounds horrible. I wouldn't want to have anything like that.
Okay. 5 years ago, when he came down with it. He said it was Crohn's disease.
But I remember that.
People going ahead and looking, and, you know, I have old movement turds from episode number 3, me and John Britton. And essentially John Britton is saying, well, hell, he got a Jew. You know, he's a Jew or he got a Jew in his makeup, because if you go ahead and Google Crohn's, it's a Jew genetic disease.
I remember when I was fighting with him, I had noticed that. He
says
he's got ulcerative.
I don't know anything about that shit. He said he had ulcerative colitis. So I went ahead and I have a thread called Linder's Bleeding Bunghole. And pretty much when he first said he had ulcerative colitis, he said he had, you know, it's the same thing. It's just he wants to claim he has Aryan ascades instead of Jew ascades, which is Crow. So essentially, now he has Aryan ascades instead, and he's talking about, he's trying to get people to send him some money so he can actually get a colostomy bag. You know, he can go ahead and have his bunghole cut out and essentially, you know, let it sort of sit and simmer, you know, without anything in it, and he uses a colostomy bag. Now, I've called Vargina and the rest a bunch of colostomy bag lickers.
If I was that sick and I had something that wrong with me, I'd be irritable too.
Well, he's not really irritable. He's always irritable, but I think it's because he's a Jew. But he's, you know, I had to laugh when he was saying, you know, I don't know if he was talking about his gut or his peck, or he was just saying, well, that just makes things, you know, rough here. And old Jim Johnson said, yep. And, you know, Jim Giles himself is an informant. He was going to make a show with this character who was associated with Bill White. And
I forgot who it was. There was somebody who came on the show, and Jim thought
he was going to.
Some, It's not, yeah, or something. No, there was actually a guy who, this is not even Bill White, it was another guy who came on the show, and I believe he had said, Jim thought he had said something like, he had said something illegal. I don't even remember who this is. I just distinctly remember when he was doing interviews about 2009, it had to be 2009, late 2009. There was some, I think it was some ass clown from BNN forum had come on there and it had said something illegal. I think Jim said he reported them. I don't know that. That's my recollection.
He was associated with Bill White, and the government was going after him. He was not supposed to be on the internet.
Yeah.
And he made an arrangement with Jim Giles to do an interview, and he said, "Oh, by the way, I have a court order forbidding me to get on the internet."
Yeah.
And then Jim Giles chimped out, and rather than just simply tell this tar to say, "Look, idiot, you're not going to get me in trouble, and you're not going to get yourself in trouble. There's not going to be an interview. Case closed." Instead, what he did is he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to the prosecuting United States prosecuting attorney in that case up in Michigan.
Oh,
and essentially,
yeah.
It essentially informed on the guy rather than just simply, "Okay, ass clown, we're not going to do an interview."
That's who I'm talking about. I don't remember this guy's name. I remember him.
I don't either. But pretty well the entire movement. The entire movement. Anchorage activist, would know his name. He went ahead and wrote that he wasn't going to have anything more to do with Jim Giles any more than he was with Bill White. And I was giving Anchorage activists a hard time for saying, "Well, why do you associate with Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder then? Because they're informants too." And over the years, Anchorage activists and me have sort of gotten, more neutral to each other.
He used to be in the National Life. David Pringle, I think.
Well, he claims he's not Dave Pringle.
Well, whoever that is, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I think he runs a site called White Reference, too.
White Reference, and that's pretty well the site that everybody goes to in order to see, because what Anchorage activist does is he pretty well keeps up with things. He goes ahead and he goes to my site because I pretty well know everyone in Christian Identity. And Christian Identity, well, you have the same thing that you have with Linder. You have these Jews like Eli James and William Fink and Jeremy Visser who are Jews or Mamzers and Melungeons, and they're trying to pretend to be white Christian Israelites. And in most cases,
I had scanned NIMBUSTERS before I got on. I was generally curious to see what they were saying about me. And I noticed they said that this guy had admitted to being Native American, something like that.
Well, he's more than that. He's a Melungeon, which means that he's part nigger, part Indian, part Jew. He's a triracial isolate. Visser essentially is a criminal, and he used to hang around with another Melungeon named Brian White, a.k.a. Billy Woods, and essentially he's been in Christian Identity for about 10 or 15 years. He's a professional criminal. Every time he gets in trouble, he lays low for a while. He takes down his forum, he takes down his webpage, they disappear, and it's been what? It's been exactly 2 years. 2 years ago, his hybrid nigger, part part Mamzer wife, ran off back up to Washington, coastal Washington, took the little pisser possum with her, and Jeremy followed him. And essentially, he wasn't supposed to, so he ran back. He ran back to Atlanta. And he was facing a stalking charge, and he got jailed for 3 weeks. And then when he got, the day after he got out, he took down his forum, his webpage, his Facebook page, and he just put up "Nothing Without You" about his oldest daughter hugging him, and he looks like a sinful Melungeon. Well, in order to get out of stalking charge on December 3rd, 2010, he admitted that he wasn't white. He was not a white supremacist. He wasn't even white. Well, I look at my brother, and his brother, full-blooded brother, Sean Ehrenvisser, looks like exactly like a Mexican. And his brother married a darker Puerto Rican, and she is a nigger daughter.
This guy has a Christian identity?
Well, he claims to be. I mean, right
how
now...
How is he accepted if he has a dubious racial background?
Well, he's not. You gotta understand that Christian identity is supposed to be a racial religion. But you have all these Mamzers and Jews and Melungeons, they get into it, and just like Alex Linder, they scream about Jews, when in most cases they're Jews themselves. And I guess you're supposed to believe them. I don't.
Now, I know that guy who used to run the Stumble In website, Breckenridge Elkin. He's an American, I want to say.
Yeah, he's an Indian. He's an Indian.
I saw a picture of him recently over at Beer Barrel.
Yeah, he lives about 35, 40 miles east of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's one of them. He's one of them Indians on the Trail of Tears. You know, they were dragged out of Georgia and Alabama and the other places when Andrew Jackson ran them off. And
what a loss.
What happens is that about 50 miles shy of their new promised land in Oklahoma, his ancestors sort of snuck out into the woods here. You know what I mean? So he's in Berry County, Missouri. But He's never denied that he's an Indian. He's never claimed to be Christian identity.
Yeah, yeah. You just don't know with half these people posting on the internet what their racial ancestry is.
You don't.
There's no telling how many Jews are over there posting at the BNN forum or the forum or who knows? I mean, anybody can pretend to be anybody on the internet. Most people can,
but Visser had to admit that he wasn't a, quote, white supremacist in order to get out of stalking charge. And from why Gary did get out of stalking charge, because he wasn't a white supremacist. You know what I mean? He's a Cherokee. But ever since then, he's regretted doing what he had to do. He wants to go back to pretending to be Christian identity again.
No, yeah. All I remember of him is that he used to post on some of these forums. I recognize the name. I think he has a radio show I haven't listened to. But.
He has a talk show radio show.
Yeah, they were talking
Tuesday,
about it.
Tuesday night you had him and Eli James. And Eli James is a Sephardic Chicago Jew who claims to be Christian identity as well. He's changed his name from Joseph November, and before that, rumor has his name was Joseph Cutts. Pretty well, everybody, we have a pretty bad connection, but,
can you hear me? Going out, I'm actually driving, I'm probably going to have to go back to town.
Okay.
Yeah, the cell phone towers screw up out here, and this cell phone has terrible reception.
It should be getting
better in a minute.
Yeah, it sounds better now than it was a bit. And let me admit something. I am a piss poor interviewer. I talked far more than what you did.
What do you want to talk about? We can. There's plenty of subjects. I know.
On the last interview. Linder didn't even dare mention my name. You do know that me and Jim Giles are not exactly buddies.
I was listening to the interview when y'all started talking about Edgar Steele, and Jim, I remember him blowing up. I distinctly remember everybody in the hall. There was about four or five people in the house. We were all listening to the interview, and I just remember him getting furious about something and saying something about breaking neck or something.
He finally,
I remember them. remember it clearly.
Well, yeah, you actually had a post on your blog about it.
Because we were all listening to it in Virginia, and I posted about it. Tom, I'm like, you know, good God, what just happened? I remember him just getting furious about something.
Well, he was. What he had done is he'd finally interviewed me. These Christian Identity boys had got onto him on Skype, and he did a very nice interview, a very fair interview with me for two-hour sessions here. And I should have probably owed Jim Giles something, but what he kept on doing is he kept on trying to find Edgar Steele guilty, and he was going to put on his investigator's hat.
Oh, yeah.
And he was doing that.
His blue tick nose. I remember him saying his blue tick nose that Edgar Steele was guilty. I remember bits and pieces of the interview because we were all sitting around listening to it and live when it happened. And
okay,
I remember him saying something to that effect.
Yeah. Well, when I was on the interview, I told my position is that as far as I'm concerned, Edgar Steele is innocent of everything. You don't believe anything the dog tells you. I don't really care if he was caught, you know, by the town marshal with a bag of heads, including his wife, Morris D's, you know, three or four niggers and beaners. I mean, as far as I was concerned, he's innocent. He's always innocent because he's one of our own, even though I don't agree with him. And Jim Giles could accept that.
I remember him. Y'all
and both Harold Covington and April Gady at the time were trying to tell him, we don't think Edgar Steele did it. And Jim Giles had a hatred of Edgar Steele because Edgar Steele insulted him or scorned him. And rather than honestly saying, fuck Edgar Steele, he's an asshole, I hate him, He was claiming that he actually, you know, sided with Edgar Steele. He just wanted to find out what the truth was. And if the truth came out that he was innocent, why, he'd be the first to say that. And here he was going ahead and nosing his way into the investigation in order to prove Edgar Steele was guilty. And
he was later convicted, I want to say.
Yes, in front of an Idaho jury. I mean, Pastor John Britt lives in Idaho. I mean, hell, it's just, I mean, you have anything to do with Aryan Nations, you're guilty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's far safer for me to claim to be Aryan Nations in Missouri than it is for Pastor John Britt. I mean, he doesn't even claim to be Aryan Nations. But they keep on bringing on his court case or whatever. His uncle was Newman Britton here, and he was Butler's successor. And, you know, I mean, essentially, if you're, you know, anybody who claims to be Aryan Nations up in Idaho is a Fed. You know, I mean, there's, you know, a Fed or a Zogbot or something, because normal people, it's not safe to claim to be Aryan Nations up in Idaho.
I want to say they sold their headquarters or moved somewhere. I think they relocated somewhere, didn't they?
No. You have a whole bunch of Aryan Nations factions claiming to be the real Aryan Nations. The latest one now is Morris Gallette, who's a drunken crackhead who got 5 years for, you know, 6 years in prison for robbing banks. And I think we talked about that. And he's in some place in Louisiana. I know quite a bit about him, but you have all these factions, including mine. What I'm trying to do, essentially, is get away from Aryan Nations and get back into real dual seedline Christian Identity, and only for Israelite, only for white people. Okay.
Okay.
So, in any case, I didn't really want to talk about too much about Aryan Nations. You were coming on good, and then you came in bad here. You know, I'm not having you do anything unsafe, or am I here by having you?
I can talk. I don't care.
All righty.
I'm talking on the phone. All
righty. Let's see. Linder didn't mention my name, but he was whining and puling and pussifying to, you know, like crazy about how slander and libel and all this other stuff you were allowing me to speak on your blog.
Well, they got about last time I checked, about 2,500 comments in that one thread. At least 3/4 of them were slandering me. So, man, if he wants to, he's against slandering and libeling people. Then, clean up the vote for him. Then we'll talk.
Okay, I didn't quite catch that.
He has that thread. It has about 2,500 comments in it, and probably about 2,000 of them are slandering me. So, and there's all kinds.
Well,
of
slandering you. They're all the only thing that got Linder sort of bothered is that you were allowing me to say that he's a gutsick Guido weasel with two Ascades. You know, that he's an informant. And essentially his strategic vision is running a tarred corral.
I don't see why he'd be so upset because, I mean,
well,
people on his website do is slander other people. So.
That's all they do. In fact, I went ahead and posted a thread to where supposedly Occidental Descent is going to be, is going to be closed down because of child pornography provided by myself. You know what I mean?
That's absurd. Where is this at?
This was on what, the last page. I went ahead and sent you a link to it on your blog here, so you can click it out. Essentially, Linder himself calls me a convicted child molester, and Linder knows better than that.
Well,
but Linder wants to. You know,
that's not true. You weren't convicted of.
Well, he knows it's not true. Back in 2009. You know, back in 2009, he said, well, Marty, you tell lies about me, so I get to tell lies about you.
I just don't understand why, you know, why he's got all those people. I mean, that's all they do. He's got people, that's really all they do over there, slander and attack other people.
Oh, yeah.
What's he getting so upset about when people slander him? It just makes no sense.
Well, I don't slander him. I mean, I think, you know, Linder increasingly over the years here, if you go look at a thread that's more than 2 years old, you'll see that most of the posters there are already banned. And you have more and more people there begin to realize, I think Linder is a Jew. And so do quite a few other people. But it's it's uncontested that you have Alex Linder, Trader Glenn Miller, and you have more people. I mean, nobody, not even Stormfront has had people go to jail as a result of being on VNNF, you know, of being on Stormfront. But you have this, Kevin Harpham?
Oh, yeah, Jerry Snuffy. I brought him up. He was talking to. I distinctly remember that Craig Cobb was talking to him, or was living with him, or was associated with him, or doing something with him right before he went down in that MLK parade. It only came out later that it was him. I know why. It's because I was browsing BNN and people were like, you know, where's Craig at? Is he gone underground or something?
Well, this was in the case of Corn Cob living in a hole back of the Walmart up in Kalispell. He only lived in a hole in Kalispell for 1 or 2 months, and then he found some other place in Wyoming from another National Alliance tard who took him in. And then I think he went ahead and took up OPTT Tony, basement in living in Mobile, Alabama. So then once spring came, he essentially, managed to get up to North Dakota, and now he's living in Life, North Dakota. And Life, North Dakota had 16 people in it, and one of them, 6.9% is Negro. So essentially there's one nigger in Life, North Dakota, and from what I gather, April Gades, Meerkat, and her, and Corn Cob, they live, he went ahead and bought a bunch of lots in Life, North Dakota, and that's pretty well what I thought he'd done. He'd gone ahead and bought, property in this
So Gady's not living in Kalispell anymore. She moved to North Dakota.
Well, I think April might live, what they do is that, you got to understand, is that North Dakota, the time to get a job is usually the 1st of April, the 1st or the 15th of April when they start setting things up. And then at the end of October, it essentially gets too cold and they pretty well lay everybody off. And I've had some relatives of friends go up there, and these idiots go up there in October looking to get a job, and since they don't get a job because they're laying everybody off, it's seasonal work. It's seasonal work, and you want to get up there, you can get a job in April, and you're going to get laid off in October, except for the core cadre. And
work like service jobs. I would imagine. I heard they didn't need just like oil workers. They needed all kinds of people to cater to the oil workers and stuff like that.
Yes, but it's like any seasonal job. You have a time when the oil flows here a whole lot easier. It's easier to pump. It's sort of like the Alaska pipeline. They're talking about how they're going to, there's so little oil being drilled out of the Alaska pipeline that they're going to have to shut it down because if there's not enough oil, it turns cold and it solidifies into a sludge. And once it solidifies into a sludge, you're not going to be able to make it flow. And, pretty well they're talking about closing down that here. Well, same thing holds in North Dakota. They're going to have, it's a boom town. But it's a seasonal job. You're going to get hired regardless to do something in April. But come October when the North Dakota winter comes in, and I was born in central South Dakota, and these winters, like you had 1996, you had 40 days. Where the temperature didn't get above 0 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, it was just, this was an unusually cold spell. But
yeah,
from December to February, it didn't get even 0 degrees. You had a bunch of minus 20-some degree weather here, and you can't get anything done. So what they do is they go up there to work. They work for 6 months, and then they shut down better than by half, for the rest of the year in North Dakota. Okay?
Yeah, I'm following you.
From what I gather, April has her own problems. She used to be, all these great, it's just like Alex Linder talking about we are above this sort of thing. Linder knows I'm not a child molester. I'm certainly not a convicted one, but he goes ahead and he tells these lies, and then he goes ahead and whines about slander or gossip. Well, if he were to sue me for saying he's a Jew with a bleeding bunghole who is an informant, well, he wouldn't get very far. And I'd probably counter-sue him, saying, hey, look, you've called me a child molester. You have these other charges called me a child molester. That's malice per se. I don't even have to prove malice. All I have to do is prove that you said it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's all.
He's just like Visser and Obagenderbender and the rest here. slander is when you say something true about them. It's not slander when they tell lies about you. And that's exactly Linder's a problem here.
Yeah, I noticed that. We talked about that in the last debate, and I was like, what is BNN known for except gossiping about people and slandering people? I mean, that's about everybody in the white nationalist movement associates BNN with that kind of thing.
Yeah, Storefront is sort of like a tard. I think it's just a Whigger tard corral where they whine and bitch and piss and moan and give Don Black money. And Jamie Kelsey,
I don't really go over there, so I don't.
I go over to Storefront to spy on the so-called Christian identity people there. I don't really go and look very much at most of Stormfront. I have a sock puppet or two on Jamie Kelso's White News Now, but it's so dull and stupid that I don't know if I've gone there for the last month or two.
I've met Kelso one time in real life, and he took me on a tour of Washington D.C. one time. He is, I don't know, he exudes positive energy, I would say, put it mildly.
Okay, whereas most people say he's a homo.
I think he's married. I think he's got a kid. He's just very happy. Not in like a gay way. He's just like, I don't know how to put it. He's just, I mean, there was some European tourist at the Washington Monument, and like he went right up to him and started saying, "You want to go on a tour?" And he was introducing himself and talking about the European far-right parties, and he's just quite a character, I would say. Very unique person.
Okay, well, I don't... What he does, he lets April Gady. He lets April Gady be a moderator, and from what I gather, they don't allow Harold Covington to be on there, but they don't allow Hattie to be on there either. Now, over on Four Fags Thieves, you had nearly 2 years of bashing Covington, and then everybody got fed up with it and said, "Okay, Hattie, why don't you answer our questions?" And they blame Covington for writing what he called a movement history. Now, a lot of this stuff was from 1976 Dugello Report. And some of it was from this guy named Rick Cooper, who was Christian Identity and a Nazi, who came up with this stuff back in 1986.
I remember seeing something about this guy, this Cooper guy on the internet. I don't even know if he's still around, but...
Oh, he died in 2006. What happens is that, see, Cooper, you know, Cooper along with Butler and pretty well all the Christian Identity community thinks that old Benny Klassen was a Jew, and that he, you know, essentially he was like Richard Barrett. He liked getting some of this man sex here from these skinhead Whigger tards here. And pretty well, we call them create tards. And we think that Klassen was a self-loathing Jew, sort of like Linder, you know, sort of like Eli James. He was a self-loathing Jew who turned worship of 6 million dead Jews to essentially worshiping Anglo-Mestizo Whiggers as the new creators. They don't worship any God. So whenever a creator talks about Christianity worshiping a dead Jew on a stick, we go and tell these creators that you're worshiping a dead Jew on a dick. And they whine like pussies about that.
Now, Klassen committed suicide when? I want to say.
Yeah, he did. He did.
How long ago was it? It had to be a long time ago.
I think it was back in, it might have been 1982 or 1992. I forget which.
Yeah.
I think it was 1992. He was trying to give his church over to Metzger, and Metzger didn't want it because Metzger's an atheist. And pretty well it laid dormant. He went ahead and wrote a bunch of idiot books. The White Man's Bible or Nature's Eternal Religion. And Corncob, he likes reading that stupid crap. And Corncob, I've actually met him. And he's just a tall, goofy sort of character. And I remember they were posting a picture of this here Jew. And this Jew has the same sort of hairline and look that old Craig Cobb does.
He reminds me. I said this on the V&M forum. I said he reminded me of Pennywise the Clown from Stephen King's It.
What's funny? What's funny if you look at his videos, in Kingston, he's able to get real close to Jews, you know, because they look at him and they see either a fellow Jew or they see a stupid, you know, deranged wigger, and then he opens his mouth about fucking Jews and they think he's either a self-loathing Jew or they think he's total nuts and they run off like crazy. You know, me and Pastor John Britt, we are laughing our heads about, you know, danger, Squill Kikison, danger. And toward the end of it, he's in a cab with this wigger cab driver who initially agrees with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into an argument with high yellow sheboon and her nigger, you know, nigger friend. And essentially the sheboon says, "My next baby's going to be white." The old corn cob is looking sort of scared as if she's going to rape him. You know what I mean? Shove her finger up, you know, up his ass here and make, you know, make him come, and he's going to breed a little sheboonlet. And, Stan is just sitting in the back just taping, and this wigger taxi driver said, "Hey, look, you dumbass, I have to live here." So, any case, it looks like we have a tard. Looks like we have a tard who spammed my chat room.
What's
it's a Nimtard. You have these Nimtards.
The Nimbusters. How are they doing? What are they saying?
Well, you know, gay tube, free animal sex videos, horse, black, dog sex with human bestiality porn videos. You have this character who's known as Chat Nukem, and he's really this Joe Ibumu. He's a Kurdish Jew who lives in Sweden.
And he's on this website.
Well, he was, you have this Chat Nuker character, and he shows up and his main thing is nuking the chat to where you can't get your own good, it's sort of stupid crap, but they do this sort of thing. Okay?
What are they saying in the chat room? We might respond to some stuff.
Oh, let's see. Guest 18, free animal sex videos, horse fuck, dog sex with human, bestiality porn videos. And he uses this program to spam or flood the chat room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing we have in our wonderful forum.
I had to put my form on moderation because people would get on the private messaging system and send that shit around.
Okay. Well, I was a little bit annoyed. I was a little bit annoyed at you because you put me on moderation. I wanted to rip old Winder a whole new colostomy bag. Can we go ahead and take about a couple minute break and
that way
I won't have to divide it up like I did your previous show of 3 hours or so.
Okay. I'm going to go into the gym anyways. I'll see you in a minute.
Okay. Oh, you haven't gone to the gym yet?
Oh, I was here. I was taking a break. I got some more to do later.
Okay. Well, do you want to take about a 2 minute break and then we'll have you on hold and we'll take about a 2 minute break so I can divide it up and save the chat and do a few other things, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, have a victory. Okay, I guess we're back here. I managed to save the chat and do a few other things here. So, are you with us now?
Oh, yeah. I had
okay.
to go out there. It's too loud.
Okay. Am I keeping you from doing anything, or?
Oh, no. I just have, if you need just 15 more minutes on that thing, then I'll be done for the night. I can do that later. So we can talk.
Oh, okay.
We're good.
So you have a membership to an athletic club or health center or whatever?
Yeah, I have a 24-hour gym membership here. I go all the time. I'm usually here.
Well, you've lost quite a bit of weight from, what, a year and a half ago or so?
Yeah, I lost a ton of weight. I'm going for perfect shape. So I'm here all the time, in fact, 5-6 days a week. Every day. Well, every day but one or two at least. So
me, I just either eat less or, you know, when I was younger like you, I never thought of paying any money to lift weights or anything like that. I just simply would have to haul hay or do something like that here.
I picked up a habit in Virginia. When I moved up there, it was a different culture, and first thing in the morning, they like to go run or exercise or do stuff like that. And once I moved back to Alabama, I just stayed in the habit. And, you know, I've lost, had to be 65, 70 pounds. So
that's quite a bit.
I don't have to deal with that curse anymore.
So how old are you now here? 32.
32. 32 as of the end of last month.
All right, so you had been born in what, 1980 or
1980.
And let's see, about how tall are you or so?
Oh, I'm 5'6".
5'6"?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a little bit shorter than usual. You want to say how much you weigh now or what?
Huh? Right now I'm 155.
Well, that's a livable weight here. That's a weight you can live with. You know, me, I'm, what, 6'2", 6'2 and a half here, and, I usually vary between 245 and up to 260. My brother, surviving brother, he's 6'4", and heck, he's just gotten real fat here, over the last, 3 years. And I tell him he's digging his grave with a spoon in order to get away from that bitch he shacked up with. But, hell, he weighs, he admitted to weighing 335, and he looks more like he weighs 350, 360. And
at my worst, I got up to about 225. I had to get that shit off. It went off pretty fast. You just stopped drinking sodas. Main thing that killed me, sitting behind a computer screen eating fast food and drinking soda, ruin you.
That'll do it. I think it'll also, this high fructose corn syrup, you hear more and more and more about people dying of pancreatic cancer. And I think this high fructose corn syrup is essentially a pancreas buster.
Yeah. A good rule of thumb is when you're in the grocery store to shop around the edges of the grocery store. Most of the shit in the center of the grocery store is all this processed crap that'll make you sick, make you gain weight, or ruin your health in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
Stay around the perimeter of the grocery store and you'll be good.
Okay, well, I usually buy the meat or whatever, the canned goods, whatever, when it's on sale. Roxy eats a bunch of this stuff here, and I'm too crazy about it. I'll eat some of it, but usually what I usually drink is I drink some tea, and then I sweeten it with some some peach supplement, and then I just go ahead and just either use sugar or I use a stevia that I go ahead and grow. But anyway, let's go ahead and get to where, this movement of ours, I call it the bowel movement, and this show is called the movement turd because that's all this bowel movement has produced. And
I noticed you're on a different channel. It's not the movement turret, it's something else.
Well, no, what happens is that I got shut down by Brian Rio and Eli James. Here's Eli James whining like a pussy about being shut down by the ADL, and these idiots believed him, and now he's on RBN because they believe he's shut down by the, you know, ADL. Essentially, Eli James and Brian Rio shut me down because I found Brian Rio was a little shit-colored mamzer, but he was also working with this Jew lawyer in order to interfere with Pastor John Britton's case here. And from my gather, the matter has been settled. But, you know, here's Brian Rio. Brian Rio and Eli James are calling the Secret Service on me and the Marshals Department and the ATF and the FBI. And heck, I had them actually come out to my house, yapping about what I wanted to do about, you know, their nigger president. I, you know, our president. I said, he ain't my president. He's just a Kenyan nigger here. I didn't vote for the bastard.
Let him stay there. He's doing a great job of pissing people off.
Well, to be honest with you, I think you're right, and I think he was better than, you know, Mitt Romney. I think he was actually better than Mitt Romney. I don't see why you're getting down on the damn Yankees for not voting for old shittens here. I mean, I didn't vote for Obongo.
Well, I mean, people like us, we don't see much difference between Mitt Romney and Obama, but all these ordinary average people they're not as deeply into politics as we are. They're following all this shit and they're taking it really seriously. So when Romney loses because all the Yankees go out and vote for him, you want to exploit that.
I think you do. And I want to bring, rather than bowel movement silliness, I mean, you know, I think Linder's a Jew. I think Linder's an informant. I think Jim Giles, I mean, you know, we'll go ahead with one last thing about Jim Giles. Here he was trying to find Edgar Steele guilty. And after 3 weeks of two times a day going ahead and nosing in the Edgar Steele case, I had some of the guys, don't cause trouble for Edgar, you know, don't cause trouble with, you know, Jim Giles because they know how I am.
Yeah.
And what I did is I deliberately baited him because I knew that the character was not wound together too tight here. I mean, of all the people who should have been, you know, talked about being a roid rage retard with testicles the size of a peanut and a brain to match, should have been Jim Giles, not you.
I remember stuff he said on that radio show over the years.
But in any case, you know, the reason this show is called the Dick Dick Show is that I was pursued by Brian Rio. I was shut down. I was, you know, I pretty well got in with some, I think it was a Jew, on TeamSpeak. And then I was reduced to pal talk, and then I decided to sneak back on to, you know, to talk show. And the reason I got cut off of talk show is that I was exploring how Brian Rio is actually a insurance fraudster who may have killed a woman.
Really?
May have killed a woman, and essentially he didn't know how to go about doing insurance fraud, so he actually may have killed a woman and had his cousin Ray, the lawyer, get him out of jail here. And pretty well, that is what I think pretty well got me kicked off of talk show. I mean, I think the only person who had ever been kicked off of talk show ever. So now I'm back on talk show, and pretty well the deal is I don't advertise this show except on my forum. Everybody, the Nimbusters, know where it's at. And I think that the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, the FBI, the Secret Service, everybody listens, you know, everybody in the movement listens to this show, although they don't.
Jim called the STLC and the ADL the other day while we were on there.
Well, he was. What happens is that he's learned how to go ahead and use Skype. And, you know, there was this one guy who went ahead and said it's the equivalent of crank yankers, to where you make a prank call, and then you record it, and then you televise, you know, the tards on the other side.
Yeah.
And that's what Jim Giles does here. But he, What he is that he's, I don't think he's progressed mentally from when he was a high school senior on the football team. He views the coach, he views a military background as being honorable and wonderful and, you know, what have you. And that's not what it is. I mean, I served 2 years in the military, and I had enough of drunken Anglo mestizos, you know, from the drunken life corps here, like Trader Glenn Miller. You know, Trader Glenn Miller, oh, I was in the Green Berets. Yeah, you were a supply sergeant. You were a supply sergeant doing temporary duty in the Green Berets.
Yeah, and he hasn't had much to say lately, I know.
Well, I think I'm hoping his liver. I'm hoping. You know, I looked at his back in 2010 when he was quote running a write-in campaign, and he ruined it. He ruined it for write-in candidates because now there's an FCC ruling that a station, radio or TV station or a newspaper can refuse to accept because of what he did. And they can go ahead and refuse if they claim he's not running a valid campaign. And that's not what the law says. But he goes ahead, he brings this crap up, and then he deliberately either loses the lawsuit or he don't file one. So now there's a precedent to where, well, hell, we went ahead and there was no problem with that. And
if I'm not mistaken, even Linder said he didn't vote for him when he ran for the Senate in 2010.
Well, you got to understand is that in 2008, you know, he got more votes for Congress in the 7th District, you know, from his relatives and friends in this area than he did running for United States Senator. And the reason is that in 2008, in March 2008, his last remaining non-faggot spawn went ahead and pulled the gun and killed the Good Samaritan, you know, who ran a tattoo shop who was trying to help him. He went ahead and killed some poor Wigger goof who tried to help him, you know, him and his mother. And then he drawed down on a Missouri Highway Patrolman, and essentially, you know, with a shotgun, you know, the Missouri Highway Patrolman, he got wounded, but he went ahead and drew his AR-15 and, you know, shot the little bastard.
How the hell they managed to fuck up like that, you know?
Oh, well, when I seen the video in 2010, I used to feel sorry for these Christian identity idiots who got betrayed by Trader Glenn Miller and went to jail, like Steve Miller. And
I've seen the letters they posted on the internet.
He betrayed these people. But I go ahead and I look.
That's what the government says. That's what the government says in there. The government says that he provided valuable testimony and was critical in the convictions. The government said that in their own documents. Now, they took those documents off the internet, but they used to be publicly available.
But they used to be publicly available. I think Glenn Miller, when he was in the Army, I think he was informing on Klansmen.
Do you think you can get those documents from a Freedom of Information request?
Well, I guess you could. I'm not really interested. I mean, I already know what Trader Glenn Miller is, and anybody who has anything to do with him. I mean, when Linder accepted Trader Glenn Miller in April of 2004, I mean, essentially everybody in the old resistance, essentially, you know, Linder is a traitor. Now everybody thinks Linder's a Jew, so of course he's not really a traitor, he's just a Jew. But, you know, Alex Linder lost any credibility with the old resistance. By that I mean the pre-Waco resistance, and most of the after-Waco resistance who were really in there. He lost all credibility when he went in with, you know, Trader Glenn Miller, and that's why you end up having Billy Roper. Billy Roper didn't want to do.
I remember Billy Roper being over there and overthrowing the forum and banning Linder. And
well, that occurred exactly what? That was a Christmas coup of 2004. That occurred what? 2004. So that occurred what? Oh, 2000.
Yeah.
No, that occurred 8 years. That occurred exactly 8 years ago.
It was before they caught it off, I want to say.
Billy Roper didn't really want to do it. It's just he didn't have no choice because, you know, you had both the Christian identity people You had the Christian Identity people, giving him, giving him shit, and his girlfriend probably giving him shit too. And you had all the people who followed the order, all the people who worshipped David Lane. You had them all mad at him because of what Trey Glenn Miller did.
Yeah.
At Fort Smith. And
now, if I'm not mistaken, when I was living in Virginia. When I was living in Virginia, and I was talking to all the people out there, we actually met some guys who were, I want to say, in the North Carolina Klan, and they didn't care much for Trader Glenn Miller at all, if I remember correctly.
Well, he used them. He used them for a while. He shouldn't have got in. That's why I talked to Lewis Beam and Catcher Lane. And with David Lane's permission. Cash Lane didn't want me to do it, but I pretend to be Trey Glenn Miller's friend because I said is that you go ahead and look at chapter 3 of his, ghost-written autobiography.
Uh-huh.
You see that he ran, after what started, you've heard of this little Greensboro, incident in November of 1979. And what it was caused because the Greensboro police and the FBI wanted a riot between these communist Jews and these Klansmen. So they set the thing up to where here they are going through Niggertown, and the main police informant stops right in the middle of town so that they can't back up, they can't go forward. And so then here comes these little Jew communists. They come out with their pistols and they start shooting the Klansmen. The Klansmen weren't supposed to have guns with them, and they didn't obey. And what they did is they opened up, against these Jew communists with pistols, with rifles and shotguns, and killed five of them dead. And then, oh my God, what are we going to do about this shit? And, it took years out of lives. Covington, he says he, in order to avoid a grand jury, he ran off to Ireland. But you had a big stink about it. And I think Trader Glenn Miller was another rat in there. But he admits in his book that he ran away. Maybe he went to get some more, liquor and, ammo.
He got arrested, I want to say, in Missouri, didn't he?
He got arrested in Ozark.
In Ozarks.
What happens is that the order thought that he would be, they wanted to go ahead and make him head of the Klan. So here they knocked off an armored car for $3.1 million. They gave William Pierce $400,000. They gave Trader Glenn Miller $250,000. They gave Dan Gaiman either $10,000 or $12,000 or $25,000. And pretty well every one of these people got caught with some money and testified, like Trader Glenn Miller and Dan Gaiman, or they were so important, like Pierce, that Pierce, you might be a little bit hard on Greg Johnson. You got to understand is that nobody's knocking off armored cars anymore and giving Greg Johnson, a couple hundred thousand dollars, are they? Like they gave Pierce. They gave Pierce $400,000. That's where Pierce was able to build a little compound and Elohim City for creatards. And, Wiggerswell went ahead and made a bogus, lawsuit against Covington, and Pierce paid for it. Pierce paid for him.
Why does Wiggerswell hate Covington so much? Well, I mean,
Covington has nothing good to say about Trader Glenn Miller. Him and Trader Glenn Miller used to, live in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And, and what happens is that, Covington used to talk about Pierce getting the money, order money, and how come Pierce doesn't have to testify? How come Pierce is able to go run and do all this sort of stuff? And the answer is that Pierce was an informant too here. He kept an eye on things here, just like, there was this guy who lives in my neck of the woods, 140 miles south of me around Fort Smith. His name was, the Reverend Dr. Robert Millar, and I actually met him. And he was a known informant, and he ran Elohim City.
I've heard of that in some book I read.
Okay. He ran Elohim City, and pretty well everybody, you know, one time, this was in July 1996, I got an invitation to go down to Elohim City, and they said, when's the best time to go down there without any informants? And both Lewis Beam and Cash Lane told me I had no business down there. There was no good time because essentially Millar was an informant himself. And that is true. He was an informant because he didn't want his people being Wacoized. And, so all this crap about Elohim City, essentially, Oklahoma City was another Zogfall front, just like 9/11. And pretty well Timothy McVeigh probably was there. But he ran his mouth the entire time about how tough he was and how there's going to be this and going to be that. And, you got to understand the Fort Smith Sedition Trial. The main thing was that all these 30 people who didn't like the government, they were going to blow up either the Oklahoma City or the Tulsa Federal Building. Sound familiar?
Yeah, I in that book I read, I remember that Jews asking said that somebody was, I think McVeigh had been at the Elohim City or was connected with them, or I don't know.
Yeah, he was. He was running around, but you had this guy named Strassemeyer. And essentially, Strassemeyer was another character brought in there, and Millar didn't have a choice. He's scared he's going to get him and his entire family and his followers, that they're all going to go ahead and be killed by the government like Waco. I mean, they're a lot more, they're Christian identity. David Koresh was just a bunch of Seventh-day Adventist tards who like running around and screwing niggers and all this sort of thing. I mean, Elohim City probably deserved being Wacoized more than these idiots in Waco did. And so, Millar just goes along with it. And everybody understood that Millar was an informant here. And they understand, pretty well the movement understands is that Linder's a Jew who runs a tard corral, and that's that. They understand that Jim Giles, I don't think he's not a professional informant. He doesn't do it for money, but he does it for vanity. And he's not altogether very tightly wound. And let's see. I got a tard I'm going to have to block.
What are they saying in the tard chat room?
Well, what happens is we're having an invasion of Nimtards.
Are they saying anything like we can respond to?
No. Brad, Brad Griffith is not his real name, but an alias. Brad Griffith is known for psychological problems requiring heavy-duty medication. Essentially, it's a Nimtard.
Let me hear what they're saying. I'll respond. So I have nothing else to do.
Brad Griffith is known. Well, they were talking about gay sex. So I don't think you're going to answer to that. Brad Griffith is known for psychological.
They post stuff like that over at their forum, I noticed. All kinds of shit like that.
Brad Griffin is not his real name, but an alias. Brad Griffin is known for his psychological problems requiring heavy-duty medication, radical swifts, reversals, and political views every 3 months. That's pretty well the main thing you'd want to go ahead and see here. It's death number 32.
About the psychological issue, I think I've already covered that. About 4 years ago, I was staying up. That's when all that Bear Stearns and shit was going down, and the economy was wobbling, and like it was about to crash. And I had been up for like 3 or 4 days. It was so interesting and shit. And I was following it, and I was really just tired. I was suffering from sleep deprivation. I was jacked up on caffeine because I just been sitting there drinking soda, following everything, and. Anyway, my parents came over to my house, and I'm like, hey, guess what? The gas is like, $4 a gallon. Maybe we hit peak oil. Hurrah. I was hoping that was the collapse. I was excited. And my parents were like, this guy, he thinks that the whole economy was going to crash. And so they took me.
Your dad
to,
did or what?
Huh?
Your dad did or what?
I can't hear you. I'm not walking.
Your dad did or...
Oh, my mom and dad, they had come over to see me just to visit. And, I was just telling them, I was so excited. I was like, it looks like the economy's going to crash. It looks like, peak oil will happen. Because you got to think, the price of gasoline had gone up to like $4 or $5 a gallon. It was going through the roof back then, around early 2008. But they didn't know what I was saying. They're not familiar with all this crap, all these issues, and so they thought, you know, oh God, you know, he seems like he's lost his mind. So they took me to the hospital.
If I can interrupt, your father, he's, for my gear, you got the reputation of being a poor little rich boy. Is that your father has a whole bunch of money, and maybe his own business or something like that? And is that true, or
I'm not going to let the Antares know that much information.
But okay, we don't need to ask. But essentially, you got the reputation of being a poor little rich boy here, and
I'm not that rich at all. But I'll just say that my parents thought I was. I mean, I was telling them, I was like, you know, maybe this is peak oil. Maybe, you know, that the economy's going to crash and the price of gas is going to get higher forever, or it's going to cause the economy to crash. And when I was telling them the economy was going to crash, because, you know, I was following all this shit on TV, all this, you know, the price of oil going up and all this crap, and they weren't following any of that. So they saw it because I was trying to talk to them about peak oil and stuff like that I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really just, I'd been up for several days following the news, and I was suffering from sleep deprivation, and I was just jacked up on caffeine, but I was all excited. So they thought, you know, I was crazy. So what happened was, I got in the car with them, and I had passed out, and I woke up, and they had taken me to the hospital.
Yeah.
Huh?
Was a psychiatric hospital or a
It was the emergency room.
Oh, okay.
And then when I got there, I woke up and I was just feeling, you know, out of it. I was, they had put something in my system. I didn't know what the hell it was. But anyway, I had to stay there for about like a week or two, and they had me jacked up. On all kinds, they thought I was bipolar.
Did they give you a Zoloft and Seroquel and all this other good shit?
Yes, Seroquel, all this other fucking medication. It had now that shit. The truth is, I was fine. I was just tired and I was exhausted. I'd been up following the news, but they prescribed all this shit, and my parents made me take it. And that fucked me up. You've had them pump you full of that shit too.
Well, I have been locked up with people who have all the, I've seen people get here. I've seen people doped up. I have been sort of, you know, to be honest with you, the two or three, you know, the 4 milligrams of risperidol that were sent there, essentially it was sent there to have an excuse to keep you in the nut house. It's the reason, you know, and it was these nigger doctors here. These nigger female doctors here, I call them witch doctors, actually gave these dangerous psychotic niggers, you know, 10, 20, 30 times as much dope as they gave me. But the reason they'd give me the dope was, well, hey, he has to be doped up. That's why we got to keep him in the nut house. We can't send him back to Newton County to have a preliminary hearing. And the reason they didn't want me to have a preliminary hearing is that, well, hey, I want to be my own attorney. And therefore, if I was my own attorney, I'd get to confront my grandson. And he'd say it didn't happen, and therefore the case would be dismissed here. That's what ended up happening, well, 4 years later, nearly.
So anyway, the longer short of what happened to me is that I just been up following the news. And I was suffering from sleep deprivation. I was off on caffeine. And my parents thought I was crazy because I was talking to them about peak oil. And when I passed out in the car, I woke up in the hospital. And they had put something in my system, I guess, to calm me down. And they held me there for a week. And they put me through all kinds of damn, I don't know, whatever kinds of drugs they give people who are bipolar. And after staying there for about a week, they released me from the hospital. And they gave my parents all kinds of these antipsychotic drugs that you're supposed to give to people who are suffering from bipolar syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they had me. So I get home and I'm on the internet, but I'm like fucked up 6 ways from Sunday because they had me
on this shit. And
well,
so
you weren't forcibly med kid. It's just that your parents would go ahead and insist that you take this stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, they had brought me to their house, and you never were
quote involuntarily committed or anything like that.
Well, they kept me at the hospital. It wasn't like a they had some kind of thing, some kind of unit there at the hospital.
Okay.
But I didn't get taken anywhere else. But anyway, so the long and short of that is they put me through all kinds of whatever the hell they give people who are bipolar. I have friends who are bipolar, and they have to take all this shit. Well, anyway,
they give them all sorts of stuff here.
Yeah.
There's this one called Depakote, which is a mood enhancer. Essentially, anybody who's made to take it gets fat, unless they're not eating anything at all. I mean, Depakote will make—I don't care what it is—it'll go ahead and make—it'll go ahead and make whoever's forced to take it fat. I mean,
I did gain a lot of weight because of that shit. And when I finally got back to my own place, I just quit taking all that shit. And I've been fine ever since.
Okay. Well, in my time in the Nut House, usually about half the people there who are white, half the people who are there because they got high on some bad meth here. They do stuff like in Sarkoxy, they blow the head off of an old Baptist minister with a 12-gauge shotgun. You know, they do stupid shit like they get, you know, about half the, you know, well, what I call the wiggers who are there. You know, there's this little short guy here, and he got some bad dope or something here, and he killed his homosexual lover.
Hmm.
And then what happens to the prosecuting attorney? Here's a murder or attempted murder. Are you going to go ahead and get, you know, which is caused by some wigger getting on some meth? Are you going to essentially send him to prison on death row for the rest of his life? Or are you going to go ahead and tell him to, you know, essentially plead NGRI, not guilty by reason of insanity? And pretty much you'll end up having these wiggers, they go in under dope here, and they commandeer a Greyhound bus here, or they kill their homosexual lover, or they slash the throat of their best friend, or they kill their wife, or they blow the head off of a Baptist minister with a 12-gauge shotgun. Essentially, they don't want to, you know, these people aren't inherently vicious, they're just stupid wiggers who got some bad dope, and so they send them to the Nut House.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, for the NGRI. And they spend a couple of years at Biggs. Then they move on to Gulman. And then they go up to St. Joseph, which is minimum security now. And, you know, half of Gulman now is a sex offender, involuntary civil commitment, you know, which is what they had planned for me. But, you know, I've seen quite a few people who are, you know, in the Nut House. And some of them are, you know, dangerous psychotics. Some of them are, sort of like this one guy who the ADL or SPLC is claiming to be Christian identity because he may or may not have attended a Christian identity church when he was young, named Israel Keys or something like that. And they claim he's Christian identity, even though the old guy who runs them said, well, I don't know if this guy went to my church or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
here he is a complete freaking sociopath who is a serial killer, and you know he essentially was just nothing more than a thief and a rapist and a murderer. And it's a pity he went ahead and killed himself, because I'd like to go ahead and put him in charge of the police department, you know, in a major state. But in any case, you know, I'll tell that later on. But yeah, I've seen quite a few people who are nuts. So essentially, you essentially got on a wrong cycle or something like that, and essentially you got sent, you know, you got sent to an emergency room, probably put on your, in about every major
something,
first
it was something
county.
To calm me down. It was something to calm me down and make me go to sleep. And then,
yeah.
and then, my parents said, I had gotten a call with them, and I just dozed off.
And when I got there, they gave me something to make me go to sleep. And then I woke up in this, I don't know, whatever room they got there, whatever it's called. And they had pumped me through all kinds of shit. And it threw me for a loop because I had nothing to compare it to. I'd never taken any kinds of
drugs.
Well,
did you feel like you were, oh, under, you know, like wearing a lead suit of armor or something like that, or?
I just felt like I couldn't even think straight. Like,
all them psychological drugs will do you. Occasional time I had to actually, you know, I'd swallow it, and then I'd spit it out here, and it wasn't very much. It didn't really affect me too much. It'd give me a headache. But, you know, I mean, some of these, you know, like my friend who, killed his daddy with a claw hammer. You give him some risperidol, it will screw him up big time. And I haven't heard from him, and I went ahead and called another nut. And essentially, from what I gather, they have, you know, he's pretty well, you know, ever since he's been forcibly medicated, he's been, you know, pretty well losing it. And what you end up having is you have all these freaking quacks, and they get money, you know, and they get power for doing that sort of thing. Up in St. Joseph, you have one of the quacks that killed Elvis up there. Right, yeah. You know. And
hey, man, I'm back at the gym, and I got to do 5 more minutes here and get on the way home. So.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's go ahead. So you were locked up for a little. You were locked up. Essentially, maybe, you know, in there, and essentially, once you were no longer on psychotropic drugs, after about a month, you sort of straightened out here. And
yeah, I was fine. I mean, it was, I was really fine. I mean, they put me in there. I was just exhausted. I was just tired, and they gave me something to, make me go to sleep, and then I woke up in whatever they have, and then, so I was in that place for about a week, and then they had, when I was in there, They had pumped me through all kinds of damn pills and just or drugs and just threw me for a loop. I couldn't, like, you know,
well, they will.
My ass and my
they
elbow.
Will.
And then when I got out, they made me keep taking it. And then on my own, I finally just refused to quit taking it all because it was just, I couldn't even think. It was, I mean, I'd never wanted to be on that shit. It just,
well, usually after about a month, it'll, you know, you'll eventually, it'll pass through your system, but it will screw you up for a while.
Yeah.
After you start taking it, once you're on it, it'll go ahead and, you know, go ahead and screw you up here. Anyway,
yeah.
Let's see, you have something else to do here.
I got to get off and finish this gym and then head back to the house.
Okay. Well, let's see. It's 11:17 there. Could we maybe go ahead and have you call in to Sunday night's Movement Turd?
Okay.
Usually, and then what happens? We'll talk about actual strategy. I'm glad to see you didn't listen to all your meerkats. You didn't listen to Lender whining about allowing me to post there. I mean, if anything gets Lender's ass.
I've always been loyal to my friend. You've always been a friend of me, and I'll always be a friend of you.
Well, I consider that true here. I don't agree that you're going to have peaceful secession. I don't see how it's possible. This is the 7th anniversary of when, this pig taking me up to the nut house shoved me into a concrete curb and broke out 4 of my teeth and a 5th one, and essentially he got away with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they got away with
it. I can tell you, anything having to do with those fucking people who, like, will misdiagnose you and put you on all kinds of shit like that, that shit they put, that was like one of the top 5 worst experiences in my entire life. So I have plenty of sympathy for anybody who's been through anything near like that.
Well, generally the dope that they put me on, I mean, the only thing that really kept me in line, though, was essentially threatening me with a 5, you know, with a 10 and a 5, 10 milligrams of Haldol and 5 of Ativan. I mean, pretty well, I was not a very nice person. I usually cause lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of trouble. Nothing violent.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Huh?
What you just said sounds familiar.
Yeah, I caused some trouble, and usually, you know, once I got a 10 to 5, I would usually sort of, the first time I refused to take my, you know, imposed medication, especially got 10 to 5, and, oh, heck, 10 to held on 5, 10 to 5 shot, it'll screw your day up for the next 2 days. I mean, all you want to do is sit in your bed and drool. I mean, you're not able to do anything. It's just like you're wearing a half-inch lead, you know, lead sheet among all of you, and you can't do anything. It's worse than being having your ribs, you know, caved in by this maniac here that I had a fight with, you know, later on.
Yeah,
I mean, it's awful.
I'll talk to you later. There's a cop falling behind me. So.
Okay, well, I'll let you go, and you're okay then, right? Okay.
Yeah. It's just someone I don't know what the rule is about cell phones and shit. So.
Okay, well, I'll let you go, and perhaps you can go ahead, and we'll talk about what you really want to do with strategy as, you know, as the session.
Okay.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head, because there are a lot of people who are very, very mad, but I don't see how you can have secession without civil war.
We'll talk about it Sunday.
All right. Oh, we'll talk about
all
it
right.
Sunday.
Nice talking to you, man.
All right. Right. Yeah, you bet. Bye-bye, Hunter. Hail victory.
Take care.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, we'll go ahead and take a 4 or 5 minute break, and we'll be back. Hail victory. Okay, folks, we're back. Well, it looks like Winked Tinklers is a Nimtard, and I did manage to go ahead and load up Nimbusters.org, but it's sort of slow. Sort of slow, and one computer, it works, you know, okay, Toshiba number two. Toshiba number three doesn't want to load up. So my internet connection seems okay, so I don't know what the deal is. Anyway, we didn't cover as much as I wanted with Hunter Wallace, but then again, I was probably running my mouth again too much. But we did cover that I do think Alex Linder is a Jew, that me and Hunter Wallace are good friends. Well, friends anyway. I don't know about good friends. I'm a little bit, you know, Hunter disagrees with me on some things. I disagree with him on others, and I will want to talk to him Sunday night about, you know, how can you have a, quote, peaceful secession? I don't believe that you can. And to be honest with you, I don't really want a peaceful secession. I want civil war. But we will go ahead and, you know, see here. I do understand where Hunter having some of these drugs here, because I've seen these drugs pushed on people. They were forced to take some of this stuff unless they were somebody they really wanted to screw up and just simply sent this guy to a nut house as a formality. I've seen a few people like that here, but most of the time, about half the time, when you have Uyghurs who are in the nut house for a serious crime, they pled NGRI, not guilty by reason of insanity. And these retards claiming that Edgar Steele should accept an insanity plea are ignoring the fact that in order for an insanity plea to work, you have to have the prosecutor on board. Now, these Uyghurs who were in jail for killing their homosexual lover or, you know, their best friend or their wife or whatever, they had the prosecuting attorney essentially agreeing to the charge here because he didn't want to, you know, make this poor doped-up Uyghur on bad meth ride the needle. So essentially, they're going to spend 5 to 7 years in the nut house with no known takeout date. And essentially, what they are is that once they're off the meth, they become model good little Uyghur citizens who don't give the staff any trouble, who do what they're told, who don't mind the niggers beating up on them every so often, don't cause trouble for them. And what they do is that they go through the system, and eventually they get a, you know, conditional or not, you know, a conditional release where they have to take whatever dope they're made to take and behave themselves and be in a group home or what have you. And eventually, sometimes they go ahead and get out. Sometimes, you know, like one of my friends up there who deliberately, well, he stole a cop car and tried to run over the pig in his own cop car, and then he got thrown in jail for that shit. And he's looking at 25 to 30 years, and he decides to malinger. He decides to pretend to be insane, you know, and essentially get out NGRI, not guilty by reason of insanity, on a FUSHA action, FUSHA versus Louisiana. He's no longer a threat to himself or others, so therefore they got to turn him loose. And I've seen that kind of person too here. And, you know, hey, some of them are my friends. I don't altogether trust them, but, you know, there's some of my friends here. I mean, I essentially am keeping, I'm helping out three people who got in trouble here who I thought were either innocent or, you know, not altogether evil people. You know, the one who killed his dad with the claw hammer, yes, he did kill his daddy with the claw hammer. The one who stole a pig mobile and tried to run over a pig in his own pig mobile, well, he probably was guilty of that too here. But, you know, and then the third one, you know, who's in prison is the one of the three that I think is innocent. But, you know, I have all sorts of friends. I have all sorts of friends. And, folks, I'm loyal to my friends, and so is Hunter Wallace. And I really appreciate that. In any case, folks, I'm looking on this Sacramento thing here. I don't see any evidence this guy is a, quote, white supremacist. He's just some white guy who has a bunch of guns. He's some wigger. He's some wigger, you know, who got a bunch of guns that essentially the pigs in Sacramento don't want him to have, and therefore he's a, quote, white supremacist. Folks, if you end up having guns and you end up being white and you end up having thoughts the government don't want you to have, well, you're a white supremacist. You're a danger to them. Now, you can have, what, about, 6,000 beaners with the same amount of guns who talk about La Raza, and they're no threat here. They're nothing. You know, there's no big deal. Who cares? But some wigger with a bunch of guns, he's a white supremacist. That's pretty well what, that's pretty well what's being said over there here. You know what I mean? Well, folks, I don't really care. News guy, you know, this guy was, you know, this guy, news guy, from what I gather, this character described news guy to a T. He's a crippled up Jew who claims to live in Australia or Iceland. Folks, this was supposedly the guy who essentially runs Nigger Mania. I mean, I do believe that Newskak is a crippled-up, dirty-lying Jew that lives in New York who claims to live in Iceland or Australia. Okay? So, let's see here. Is the audio gone? Well, the audio shouldn't be gone. Okay? Anyway. Let's see here. Folks, I do believe this guy that news guy is a crippled up Jew living in his mama's basement. Folks, a week and a day or so ago, on either Dan Johns or the Pisser Possum show, you had this intern clown, essentially admit that he'd gone and took a train ticket to visit Newskike in north of Manhattan. Okay, what's north of Manhattan? Well, the Bronx or Westchester County. Do I believe that Newskike is a dirty Jew who is essentially in a wheelchair, you know, living in mama's basement, who does that sort of thing? Oh, yeah, I do. I've always believed Newskike was nothing more than damn Jew here. Whether or not he's a crippled Jew, I like to think he's a crippled Jew. I like to think of that Jew sitting crippled here, a paraplegic here, that maybe some nigger has gone ahead and severed his spinal cord. So essentially his little Jew member is just sitting there, just limp, limp as can be. Just limp. You know, you have a Newskike who's limp with a gimp. Essentially, with this little soldier here, just leg loose here, have nothing to do but look at tranny porn and go ahead, go after, quote, white supremacists, and go ask them out with Jews and open gender bender, pisser, pufter, possum, trannies, and, you know, stir up shit here. Because that's what Newskike is. He's just a shit-stirring up Jew. And I don't know. I've gone ahead and decided to make a resolution early this year to where, at least until New Year's Day, I'm not going to log on as Pastor Martin Lindstedt. I'm not going to go ahead and call the Newskike show. I mean, I've had enough of asking this kike to let me on and then going ahead and screaming at this dirty kike, give me a hard time. I mean, this kike has nothing good. I mean, I think it crosses the line to claim, to go ahead and take bits and pieces on my show to where I'm talking about old Mongoloid Hardy. Mongoloid Hardy. And here I am. Here I am typing in, hey, you going to let me on, you fucking kike, or not? And essentially the fucking kike is not going to let me on. The fucking kike is going to pull some shit is what this kike is going to do. And he's telling Mongoloid that I've essentially made an imminent threat here and therefore can be arrested like Bill White or Hal Turner for an imminent threat against a stupid, fat, ignorant wigger who is a pussy who allows dirty kikes like Artie to call him a child molester. Folks, that's all you end up hearing on VNNF. That's all you end up hearing on, the Pisser Possum, the Pisser Possum Turds. That's all you end up hearing. These kikes and mamzers who like destroying white families call me a convicted child molester, no less. Now, if I wanted to sue them, all I have to prove is that they said it. I wouldn't have to prove malice. Now, in the case of Alex Linder, in the case of Jeremy Visser, folks, there's more than enough evidence here to prove that they're Jews, that they're Melungeons, that they're Mamzers, that they're criminals. You know, everything. I mean, I was listening to that show, and here is poor little old, here's poor little Alex Linder whining about how this Crohn's has just pretty well made everything not work here. And I'm not sure if he's talking about his little third leg or not here. The old Jim Giles, he just go ahead, he understands how it is. I mean, maybe all those steroids here have turned him like one of these things in a Dean Koontz book here. I read a bunch of Dean Koontz while I was sitting in the Newton County Jail, and one of them was about, this character is able to shift to different planes, and he's actually the older half-brother of this bitch here who squeezes out a total monster who is generating four times the level of testosterone, but whose penis, essentially, he doesn't have a functioning penis, but he has testicles, which is cleaning out four times the amount of testosterone, and the guy is a complete raging sociopath. I forget what the name of the book was, and that's what Roid Rage Retard Giles seems to me here. He's a complete sociopath. He has the mental ability maximum of about a 12-year-old. He doesn't know how to think things through. He probably hasn't read a book since high school, if he read one then. He was on the football team where his big frame and small brain were invaluable, but not good enough to make it to the college level or the other level. Had a well-to-do daddy who was able to put him through the Sorbonne, and he went and got him some nigger pussy, in Paris, gay Paris, where they have a bunch of them critters running around. So, in any case, Hunter, it might be a good thing to have a discussion, but folks, what are you going to discuss with strategy and tactics here? You're not running. I mean, actually, Hunter is working more on political action here by going around with these League of the South people, although I don't think they're going to get anything done, than Alex Linder is. I mean, what's Alex Linder's grand strategic plan? Answer, to get a colostomy, to go ahead and get some new colostomy bags, to run his tard corral, to go ahead and run his tard corral, and number three is to close down a second gay bar in Kirksville. And if anybody can find a second gay bar, much less one here, old Hunter, he probably wouldn't know where to find a gay bar in Kirksville. But for that matter, I wouldn't either. So he goes up to Kirksville, and he's able to find these gay bars. I mean, if you're a Jew boy bleeding out the bunghole, I'm quite sure Linder, if anybody could find a gay bar here in Kirksville. Now, Joplin has a bunch of them, or at least I heard it used to have a bunch of them here. The biggest gay bar was supposedly used to be, back when I was a kid here in 1976, the Red Lion, It was a pussy magnet. It used to be a pussy magnet. You used to have REO Speedwagon play there before they became famous. You had, essentially, it used to be a place to, you know, it used to be a pussy magnet. I mean, if you wanted, you know, if you wanted to get you some pussy, you go to the Red Lion. But then sometime in the late 80s, early 90s, it became a faggot bar. And, you know, no puss to be found there unless it's lesbo puss. So, and then, you know, then there's one or two supposedly off Main Street here, you know, back on Pearl here, which are supposed to be faggot bars too here. But, you know, I don't know why Joplin has a reputation for being, you know, faggot town more than even freaking Springfield does here. And that's why old Fred Phelps going ahead and picketing Joplin here. God hates fags here. That's why he gave you a tornado. I mean, it's appropriate that the tornado struck down at McClellan Park, then hit St. John's, and then, you know, went across Joplin here. And Duquesne is a piece of shit too. It's a pig trap here. So I don't know where I got on that here. There are faggot bars, I'm sure, in Joplin. But you know, I guess, you know, when you go ahead and you hear of them, I mean, unlike Linder being a Jew boy with an axe to grind, you don't bother shutting them down. You just simply don't go to them. You know, and I'm quite sure that's what I'm quite sure there's a faggot bar too in Montgomery. But you'll see Hunter going ahead and trying to close them down. I mean, he's not the Carrie Nation of faggot bars, you know, like Linder is. But you got to give Linder credit. He's just a Jew boy bleeding out of his ass. He's the Carrie Nation of faggot bars. In Kirksville used to be, it has a college, and all colleges are more liberal. I don't care. Even if it's MSSC, which became MSSU, every college will go ahead and have a few Jews here. We'll have some big government lovers, some socialists here, some not, you know, but no, and hardly no Nazis, no Nazis at all. No college, not even Joplin, will have any Nazis. Now, in Missouri, the University of Missouri at Columbia, I call it the University of Missouri at Sodom. Because they had a big stinking, went to the United States Supreme Court back in the early 70s. They had all these faggots who wanted to form their own little faggot recognized, you know, club or whatever. And up to that time, the University of Missouri at Columbia sort of thought, well, hey, we have these people's kids, these taxpayers' kids, going to essentially a agriculture and mechanics university paid for by the state. Essentially, we are in local, parentis. We're not supposed to go ahead and, you know, let their little boys and girls become faggots and bull dykes and shit like that. So, essentially, I'm sure some of them will, but we're not going to go ahead and make that a campus club. So they passed, and this was a big thing in 1976. They passed in the United States Supreme Court. They said that the University of Missouri had to allow these faggots to have their own little faggot, college-recognized or university-recognized faggot club. And after that, pretty well, the University of Missouri and their trustees sort of got demoralized. So now the University of Missouri Columbia not only has a whole bunch of outlanders, you know, gooks and mamsers and faggots and all this sort of thing. Well, hey, yeah, I call it the University of Missouri at Sodom. And the people who live in Boone County call it the People's Republic of Columbia. I mean, it's so left-wing. It's so left-wing that you not only have a bunch of niggers running wild, why, hey, you just have a bunch of pigs. Oh, essentially, they're just scared of militia people. I remember they... You know, they were going after this militia guy here. They were scared shitless of him. But where was I here? Okay. It's going to destroy. Wait until these memes are pushed to DNNF. Well, folks, you're going to have Vargina. You're going to have Vargina He's gonna bitch. He's gonna say, Hunter, Brad, you were on the show, this fucking maniac, Lindstedt again. I don't listen to him, but, you know, it's just obscene. It's vile. And you're going to have old Vagina the Lizard Miller Meerkat. He's going to be listening to this here. He's going to claim he didn't listen to it, but it was vile. It was vile. Yeah. And, folks, I mean, I just simply wanted to go ahead and warn Brad or whatever. I wanted to warn him that if old Roid Rage starts going all Roid Ragey, you know, you just need to just simply hang up. I mean, that would be a note of sanity, you know, in an insane rant of Jim Roy, you know, of Jim Giles. You simply just hang it up right then, right there. You don't pursue it any further. Okay? Anyway, I guess Frank Wigger, he has to go feed the animals. Anyway. So I doubt it's gonna go ahead and destroy Brad's credibility at all. I don't think it is at all. I mean, folks, this is actually free speech. I mean, it's Linder who acts like Ashkenazi defecation league tard in demanding that people be shut down. It's Obagenderbender and Visser who want to shut down this show. Visser tried to go ahead and get Keith Southworth's show taken down. And then he admitted that he was 20% Cherokee or 25% Cherokee, LOL. What of it? He tried to get Logan Hunter's show taken down. Visser essentially is a mean, evil mamzer. A evil, mean critter. And you can't trust the worthless bastard at all. So, anyway, it looks like we've lost quite a few people except for the Nimtards. Let me go ahead and take a few minute break. Let me go ahead and upgrade my web, you know, my forum real quick with a few sock puppet accounts so they'll be ready. And what we'll do is that we will be back after the top of the hour, and maybe I'll go ahead and load up portions of the debate so that people can go ahead and listen in. So, folks, we're going to take a short break while I do a few housekeeping chores, and we'll be back. Hail victory. Obie and Visser. No, I'm not going to mess with Obie and Visser. I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of debate. Between Linder and Jim Giles. We're going to go ahead and talk. I guess it's going to be Colostomy Bag Radio. How's that? Oh, live with it, folks. Live with it. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to...
I'm going to load up this track. I may decide not to go on very hard. I'm having a few technical difficulties for you here, folks. And most of them are caused by me not being planned and ready for this stuff. I don't want that. December. No, I didn't want that one. Folks, I may just decide to go ahead and call it a night and get this thing re-recorded or reworked on later on. Not to do a live show, but to just simply have an addendum of what was covered in, quote, the debate. And that way, everyone would be able to go ahead and load up my commentary on the, quote, last debate between Roid Rage Retard Jim Giles, Alex Lender, and Hunter Wallace. We've got some new information of Hunter being able to say his side of the story, and that might be the best thing to do, is to go ahead and have a programmed, you know, show later on. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead, and I think I'll call it a night, you know, a little bit early. That way I can go ahead and work on the actual show and have it up here in a little bit here. White Colostomy Bag Radio? Okay. All right, in anticipation, you're making popcorn. Well, folks, I think I've had enough of doing that. I think I'm going to have an actual worked out show later on. I think I'm going to go ahead and work with what I got now. By the way, I got episode number 6 of. You know, see, the poopy dog is in. I got, you know, pretty well put together the compare, who is the Jew, who are the Jews, who are the Gentiles up. And, folks, I think I'll go ahead and call it a night. Okay? Give you the link to Wigger Problem, please. Okay, here. Get it off, well, yeah, you get it off of mamsers.org. www.mamsers.org/useful/audio/TMT. And you can go ahead and get, I'm falling behind on archiving the programs, but you can go ahead and get the song links here. The reason I didn't have up the latest Movement Turd is that I'm thinking of doing a parody song about Why Did I Ever Roam Away from my home in Life, North Dakota. And sort of like Lawrence Welk here. When I was young, I did not like Lawrence Welk at all. Because Lawrence Welk would play even Beatles stuff and just make it quicker, you know, just old cootified. I used to call it coot radio. Old coot radio. I used to call it regurgitated tunes and music to puke by. My mom did not understand that. And let me just tell you is, oh, you know, when she got some money, she used to want me and Roxy to take her to Branson, and she would pay for that, and she'd pay for Silver Dollar City.
And she got all annoyed here because I was taking my, you know, taking my granddaughter Helen with us here because she got in for free. So essentially what we would do is we'd go ahead and rent a, motel room for the night. I'd pretend to buy a timeshare. And essentially my mom would wander around like a tard at Silver Dollar City. And she got all annoyed when I said, well, we have 2 5-year-olds with us, and one is more alert than the other. And my mom sort of caught wind of me saying that. And she said, that ain't right. And it probably wasn't. You know, it probably was. It's sort of a mean thing to say. I don't know. I've never been one to respect my mother's. You know, my mother, bless her, is not the sharpest. Rutabaga, you know, in the Swedish garden plot. I mean, in any case, though, is that she's a good person, but she was abused pretty much by that, you know, by her mother, that evil bitch Jenny here. You know, that's what gets me about, you know, way back in the early part of the last, first half of the last century. I mean, people abuse their kids all the time, and nobody said a damn thing about it. And then, you know, afterwards here, the last half of the century, essentially the government pretty well destroys families, and nobody dares say a single thing about it. In case, I'm gonna go ahead and, I do love my mother. It's just that, among the four of us here, he used to say is that, you know, four of us kids here, you know, dealing with my mother, is that Martin argues with her, and I was the oldest. Mike ignores her. Monty loves her, and Susan runs away. And that's pretty well the way things are here. My mother is a good person, but she's pretty well stuck here. She's pretty well stuck at the middle age of 12 or so, and just like a lot of people. I mean, I go ahead and I look at supposedly smart people, and even Jews. And it seems like Jews are getting dumber. You know, they're preying off for dumber Whiggers, and they don't have to be as smart in dealing with dangerous white people anymore, who might go ahead and kill them all. So they've gotten dumber too, just like the Whigger population's got dumber. So anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and my mother's still alive here. She's gonna be what, 80 in a couple months? I mean, she's lived a long life. And heck, it's sort of like what my dad said about that old bitch Jenny here, you know, her mother. You know, I asked my dad here when I was a teenager. I said, so do you think Jenny, when she gets older, she'll get senile? And my dad says, she ain't likely to lose what little she got. And, that's pretty well the way my mother is too here. She's not, it's a good thing here. I mean, it means that I'm, none of my family, all my family on both sides, my mother and my father here, they've all been very, very, very healthy, very healthy people who are, I guess they were born and raised to do farm work. They've been always very healthy. Now, old Jenny was an evil bitch, but she never did become senile. You know, and none of my family. I mean, they all lived to be in their 80s. They all lived to be in their 80s or 90s. You know, smoked a lot, but not the cigarette. Not the store bought cigarettes so much. And, I mean, essentially, they lived to be pretty old here. Except for Martin, he only lived to be what? He only lived to be 81. That's because that bitch Jenny went ahead and, beat him over the head with a jack handle and put her fat ass and smothered him here. So that doesn't really count here. He probably might have lived to be 90 here if old Jenny wouldn't have beat him over the head with a jack handle. But in any case, that smothered him while he was laying unconscious. So, all my family has lived long, full lives here. And whether or not they were particularly smart while they were enjoying it doesn't really matter, because I guess when you're stupid, you don't realize how freaking stupid you are. You know what I mean? You know, it's sort of like you might not have some of the higher functionings, but it's not like you're going to go ahead and miss them here. Some of my family have been very smart here. But and sometimes, supposedly the Army said I had an intelligence score of 147. And, I was somewhat hungover when I took the test. So, in any case, I was sleepy when I took the test here. So, heck, I might have been rated as a super genius. But, I don't know why I'm as smart as I am unless Yahweh wants me to cause trouble for Zog. That's my last word. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we will be back. Well, we won't be back. We'll be back Sunday, and Hunter Wallace should be on there then, and we will probably have a whole bunch of TARDs listening, as well as the regulars. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it night. I'm going to say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.